Everybody loves Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi there.
Hi, Robbie.
How have you been?
How have you been?
Do you like the Mondays?
Do you like this Chicago?
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs.
When I hear Chicago, I get the oopsies.
Hi. You know, many members of Chicago occasionally get the upside down.
It looks like a deep dish Chicago pizza.
I'm sitting in my own oopsies. I was at Uno. Good afternoon, Mr.
I'll have a large, thin crust with oopsies.
Ooh, I love it like that. Try to put the oopsies on half. Sean doesn't like the oopsies.
Chance. Cannon.
Oopsies and pineapple. Lots of fruit juice.
Yum. All right, Rob, anyway.
Good afternoon, everyone.
You wrote something, didn't you?
I have something on this paper.
Gotcha.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Left-footed lottery winner and all the ships at sea. And now, the new mascots for your Washington Nationals, Don Geronimo and Screech O'Mara.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay, hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi there, yes.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry. Hi. Hi there. It's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Hello.
It's big fun. Don and Mike show, and it's a new episode. Michael Lucas, Monday. 041805.
I'm Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi there, Buzz.
Oh, he's not retarded.
Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. From Canada and from Mexico, call 800-636-1067. And if you're lucky enough to be among the chosen few listening to free radio, WJFK in Washington, call us at 202-432-1067. I just heard that commercial that I guess is a knee-jerk reaction by our radio station to satellite radio,
which you have to pay for.
Right.
Well, I think it just legitimizes them.
We just had a whole big commercial before we went on the radio where it said WJFK free radio. Well, you know, technically, yes, except for the 20 minutes of commercials every hour.
Exactly.
Technically, I guess.
Other than that.
And of course, the damage to your soul. I mean, you'll never get a receipt for that.
No.
But I have it on good authority. You buy any automobile and you turn it on, and we're there if you have an FM radio.
That's right.
It's brilliant.
So in essence, you only have to pay, how much is a really cheap car?
$14,000.
Oh, you get less. I've seen like the ads for the Chevys that are left for like $10,000.
Oh, that's
like that.
What they tell you. But once you get tires on it.
But in essence, that's what you're paying then for the radio.
Cars
right?
Start now at $46,000.
Wow, they've gone up.
That's for a good one.
Well, if you want a good car, sure.
Mm-hmm. Cars. You stopped the show.
You want cars?
You gave the show an oopsie.
I made an oopsie. I gotta go find a towel.
Made an oopsie.
Yeah.
Before the weekend recap, I've got just a you-know-what load, a pantload of stuff. Yes, thank you, Robbie. An oopsie load.
Oopsie load.
Gosh, one, two, three different things. First, this Pope thing.
Yes.
Now, Mike and I just saw back on TV they have black smoke.
You see me get fooled there for a second?
Yeah, you did for a second.
I said, hey, they got a... Oh, it's black smoke.
Yeah. Black smoke, which means nothing new. Now, here's my theory on this, and it's done, as always, with very little research, but, you know, here you go anyway. The way I understand it, the guys that want to be Pope, and I guess it's not cool to want to be Pope.
You got to be picked.
It's not like, you know, being an elected president of the senior class.
Yeah, you don't lobby for it.
No, but what you do is you have your friends lobby.
Yes.
You have the fellow cardinals. You have Stan Musial. You have,
you have Bob Gibson.
Lou Brock. All your cardinals.
The other cardinals.
Yeah, the cardinals, they all will sit around and say, you know... Hey, you know, I kid that about that kid Rob.
Fine.
But listen to me. I'm telling you, he'd make a great pope. What can I do to sew up your vote on this issue?
And meanwhile, the one that wants to be pope, he goes, oh, no.
Yeah, right.
Nah, you don't need to.
I'm too humble.
If you insist.
Okay.
But at the same time, there's got to be at least one or two other slicky boys who are having their meetings right now saying, okay, what have you heard? Who's in the lead? Well, I heard that the guy over there, you know, the guy with the red hat is in the lead. He said, we got to get him. Does anybody know about this guy, about what this guy's done? Can we find some dirt?
It's the guy from Italy.
It's the guy from Germany. Okay, there's no way. First off,
The German guy might be in the lead.
They're having this discussion right now at the Vatican.
All right.
Listen to me now. I accepted a Polak. There's going to be no way that a crowd is going to be the Pope. You get that
keep
back.
Your voice down.
He drives race
cars. You get back to the other people at this little get-together that we're having, this little conclave. And you tell them that I got 26 votes that says N-O, and we're ready for black smoke for the next 7 days.
In the conclave, you know, the majority of cardinals...
When they're watching porno and smoking cigars, eating bad food, Fridays to go.
Hold on. The majority of them are Italians. And I understand it's just like in that scene in the movie Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Where he's slicing the garlic real thin.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's exactly what's going
on.
They're
just sitting around right now. Or maybe they've already chosen. Maybe the Cardinals have already chosen the next guy. And
when do they get together again? They continue to meet. They've taken their first vote.
Mike was
inconclusive.
They meet in the morning, then they vote, then they meet again in the afternoon.
Then they vote. Right.
Then they'll continue to do this.
Until the white smoke comes out, right?
That's right.
Or the pale blue smoke indicating a little partying.
I think that probably whoever the Bill Clinton of the Vatican is, has probably already got it wrapped up.
You think it's already a done deal?
Listen, was anybody surprised at the Pope, God rest his soul.
No one saw it coming.
Right. It's like waiting for Bob Hope to die. So there had to be someone in the Vatican underground, one of these cardinals.
Uh-huh.
It has to be someone with a lot of charisma. Like a Bill Clinton type, who's been walking around.
I appreciate it. Like my tie.
He's done a great job.
You mean a guy that wears the sash at just a jaunty angle?
Uh-huh.
Just so, like that.
Guy who might every once in a while, just slip in the room and say, I got some soft core.
If
you're interested, party in my room tonight.
So when do you think? Next vote? You think we'll have one on the next vote, or think it'll take a couple more?
I have no idea. There's a part of me that thinks that they've already decided it.
Yeah.
That what they're doing
is...
Can you
think the fix is in?
No, not necessarily the fix is in, but there is, there had to be in the chain of succession...
They had to do one vote. Yeah, there had to be black smoke. They had to think, hey, it's not going to be, because then the people would get suspicious.
Sure. Right. So you have the vote, and...
But wasn't John Paul, wasn't he picked pretty quick after the last guy died? Pretty quickly, I'll check and see what the length of time was, but I know there wasn't a lot of delay, but they like to make a show out of it.
But there wasn't the coverage that there is now. There wasn't where you've got the 3D animation where they're showing you really what the room might look like.
Right.
There's no cameras or anything's allowed in this room, and this is where they'll be, and then they'll have dinner. And then they'll go over here and they'll talk some more.
Right.
And then they're going to talk. I think it's done. I think they're all sitting back having wine, watching TV
now. What it is, it's whoever makes the best dinner.
Is that it?
That's your dinner. That's how it should be.
Each of the Cardinals cooks.
Not too many onions in the gravy.
I think that it'll probably be pretty fast.
Well, then how'd the last guy get the job? You think the last guy was a good cook?
No.
Right.
The last guy was just
How'd the last guy get in?
Well, he brought in Polish food.
Who knows?
They were sick of lasagna.
Name good Polish food. Can you name a good Polish food?
Kielbasa.
Okay, I said name a good Polish food.
I like
kielbasa.
I like kielbasa. Can you name another good Polish food?
Pierogies.
Yes. The cabbage rolls.
Hold on. Cabbage rolls.
Sorry. Well, they're good for you.
But I don't think this...
Aren't you Polish?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're not a bright people.
You're everything.
We choose one good thing.
You're just one big cocktail of everything, aren't you?
It allows me to hate more. This ceremony won't take long because it's not like the entire system is based on useless ritual or ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
No, it should be quick. No hocus pocus there.
I kind of think they got it done. They're sitting with their little pointed hats right now, all of them. Maybe watching the networks.
What is your chosen religion? Because you call Catholicism hocus pocus all the time. My given faith that you...
I was a Catholic.
What conjuring do you do?
I conjure Methodist.
Methodist. Oh, yes. There you go. Ah, yes. Okay. All right.
No smoke in our religion.
Well, not officially.
No. Just good 50-minute services and small regular hats.
Regular hats. Yes.
Well, that's why Episcopalian kicks ass.
That's right. Why?
It's like Catholic life.
Well, yes, JV Catholic.
It's Catholic with none of the guilt, and same deal. You hit that 8:30 on Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
Wham, bam, thank you, man, 45 minutes.
Right.
Beautiful. And, hey, dig this, none of those tedious confessions.
Do you have Saturday night services? If you want to go, like, at 5:30 Saturday night?
I don't think so.
Yeah?
I don't think. Well, you know why?
35-minute service. Catholic. My mom goes to now, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of churches do that.
Well, that's got to be the only upside of being Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be the only upside.
Well, other than eternal life.
Oh, there's that.
If you want to believe it.
You know, no, I just hedge my bets. You know, I just hedge my bets. I still got the roots.
Hasn't the Catholic Church crapped on you the same way they crapped on me?
Yes, Don, yes.
So what do you got here? What is this?
This is the song they're listening to in the conclave.
Can you imagine you see them all like one of those Monty Python things where they're all dancing?
What if they all got a hookah?
Yeah.
They're all partying right now.
What do you think the smoke is?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
There's somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, there's this big pipe right now, and the guy takes a big hit, and then she goes.
Joe. Ain't no winner yet, man. We can get at least 3 more days of partying in this bunker.
Come on.
Where's my red pointy hat? Somebody turn Mad TV on.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, that's number one.
Yes.
Today. That would be number one, what's going on with the Pope. Then you've got left over from Friday. We said that we would tape the local TV stations to see which of the D.C. stations went the nuttiest about sending a reporter down to the post office at midnight to cover the tax frenzy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you ready to be surprised?
Who won?
We went with the majors here. We went with the big three.
Right.
We discounted Fox.
Uh-huh.
So we went with NBC4, ABC7, CBS9. Are you ready for this?
What?
Who's the winner?
No reporters are sent down to the post office this year by any
incredible.
Of the local TV stations.
Do you think perhaps you've done some good?
Perhaps, Buzz.
Embarrass
perhaps,
them out
perhaps
of this coverage?
They're listening, but the real test will come on on Thanksgiving Eve find out if they still have someone at the airport on Thanksgiving Eve.
I guarantee it. I'm ready to bet right now.
You're asking a lot.
Whoever that person is the lowest rung on the totem pole.
I'll even go one step further. When you talk about 4, 7, and 9, there will be a reporter from each station at the airport.
You think? Mm-hmm. All three of them?
All three of them.
And maybe my team coverage.
Yeah, and maybe one of them will have Frank Herzog.
I think the reason...
Making pancakes.
The reason that no one was at the post office is that every network had someone covering the fact that a man was mugged for his iPod. That was the big story. That and the Accela delay. Mm-hmm.
So there's only some tapes of them covering it that we have for you. The only one that I really think we should play is the one that involves Grady.
Yes.
Beloved anchorman Jim Vance from WRC Channel 4.
Yes.
Who reminds me more and more of Grady from Sanford and
As
Son.
As he gets grayer and grayer.
Please be listening now.
No,
to this.
Just for men on Jim Vance.
No.
Please be listening to this tape of Jim Vance speaking.
Uh-huh.
And you tell me if you don't hear his upper plate slipping a little bit. James Vance.
There's less than an hour to go now until the deadline to turn in tax returns. Some post offices around the area have stayed open later than usual to accommodate last-minute filers. The IRS says more people are filing electronically these days, but there are still millions of people who are sending in their returns the old-fashioned way.
Now, has no one brought this to his attention?
I haven't heard him in ages.
Yes.
Wow. They're last-second filers.
Polydent.
Yes. This segment of news for us brought to you by
should be quite a struggle.
Is this what we have to look forward to?
Jim Vance.
Bob Ryan.
There's less than an hour to go now until the deadline to turn in tax returns. Post offices around the area have stayed open later than usual to accommodate last-minute filers. The IRS says more people are filing electronically these days, but there are still millions of people who are sending in their returns the old-fashioned way. through the mail.
Sounds uncomfortable.
That's
wow.
Jim Vance.
I say.
Yes.
I say, would you like to come over for some pancakes and sausage?
Make some cider.
Apple cider.
Cider.
Oh, dear. Wow.
So, that's the news. I might have a pleasant tomorrow.
Astounding.
I've not seen him have to do that thing where he puts his thumb in the roof of his mouth like...
I think he's doing it with his tongue to try to
pop him back
well,
in.
He's been doing it a number of years. Yeah, I know that.
So. Hold on. Well, let's hear him again just one more time.
There's less than an hour.
That's a pretty, yeah. That's a pretty good... right at the very beginning.
Wow. It's gotten worse.
Oh, hold on a second. There it is.
All right, listen to that first gasp of air.
Here's Jim Vance. Grady.
There's less than an hour to go now until the deadline to turn in tax returns. Some post offices around the area have stayed open later than usual to accommodate last-minute filers.
Man.
The IRS says more people are filing electronically these days, but there are still millions of people sending in their returns the old-fashioned way.
Or something else might be at play there.
No, no. Mike, I've listened to this.
Perhaps table. It was a six-martini dinner.
No. I know Jim Vance is on the sober wagon.
Yeah.
And I think that he's in charge of his faculties. I don't think that he's had like a mini stroke.
So you think it's the upper plate?
Yes, absolutely. So,
sounds like.
Listen, Jim, from one broadcaster to another, dude, stick those teeth to the top of your mouth. I mean, for God's sakes, you're the dean of Washington TV.
Powders don't work. Creams.
I'm sorry that Mike and I cannot devote as much time to you as we did when we did a morning show.
So long.
We could watch you every night, but Jim, Grady, dude, get them, stick them.
There's less than an hour to go now until the deadline to turn in tax returns. Some post offices around the area have stayed open later than usual to accommodate last-minute filers.
Filers.
So sad.
Sure, wake up with Joe Krebs and Barbara Hirsch.
Filers. Filers. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, how y'all doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
All right. Hey, you were talking about the Pope earlier, and I heard this morning on the news that the German guy, the Kraut, he got like 78 unconfirmed votes before they even locked themselves in the room with the 10-year-old boys.
Can I just say something? That even though I might agree with what you're saying, your accent totally...
A little distracting.
Totally blows any.
I'm going to hazard a guess. I'm going to hazard a guess that Catholics aren't the only ones he hates.
Who else do you hate, son?
I hate everybody.
I figured you did.
Pick one. Who's the one group you hate more than anybody?
Oh, I don't know. Them little Mexican fellers.
Yeah.
Mexican fellers.
Yeah, he's Klan all the way.
You want to put it to a vote?
Oh, no, he is.
Yeah, he's Klan.
I recognize the voice.
You know him from the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He's used to not seeing the faces. So.
Hello there.
I love your show.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yes, we are.
Here we go.
Hey, great show, guys.
Thanks.
Love you guys. Great.
Right. I thought for a second we might have had another one there. Hey, great show.
Has anybody been checking whether or not the Cardinals have a... bet placed in Las Vegas, whether or not they're picking the Pope on a certain day?
Yeah,
do they stand to make
you
money?
Can bet on that.
Because, you know, there's somebody inside there who's got the information. And I love it when people say
somebody's leaking out the information.
I love it when people just say the Cardinals, because I always think of the St. Louis Cardinals. You know,
football or baseball? You got to think with baseball.
I think baseball first.
I do actually think baseball first.
Oh, hold on. One more of the tax tapes. I don't know. Oh, we're just going to play this one because this guy on Channel 9...
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the new mannequin?
No.
Okay, so you know they've got Tracy Neal, who is just...
Lovely.
You get a brown sugar.
Sure.
Come, you dance so good.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. She's just it.
Really nice.
And they've put next to her a very plastic, handsome white guy.
Todd McDermott.
Who I'm guessing...
Is it Todd or Tom?
Todd
McDermott.
Who I'm guessing probably has to have his shoes tied for him before the evening newscast.
Question for Todd McDermott. How is your memory?
I'll say this, though. He's a good reader.
Yes.
And he's good with enunciation.
Oh, good. Very good.
Getting his point across.
And you know what else he likes?
What?
Standing up. She's a stand-up news reader.
Authoritative.
McDermott.
Here he is with the tax angle.
Okay, procrastinators, just a few ticks left on the clock to file your federal taxes on time. Right now, last-minute filers are dropping off forms at 24 local post offices, open until midnight. Check out this curbside service tonight at Friendship Station in Northwest D.C.
Check this out.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right now on our website, you will find a list of post offices staying open until midnight and a direct connection to the IRS website with information on filing an extension.
Yeah. And he looks real serious at the camera with on filing an extension.
Now, this is 9 News at 11. Asshats, if you are looking to get over to the post office, they've got curbside service for you if you're so lazy and so just a loser.
So the stations did nothing. They did they did nothing to cover them. We give them one, two and a half dings for that.
Two and a half snaps?
Two and a half.
Even though no one caught it, do you think Channel 5 had someone out there?
I'm sure they did.
Will Thomas.
They probably did. They had the greatest Will Thomas segment today on the news.
Really? Well, they're all great.
Or maybe it was last night or this morning. I don't know. One of the newscasts in the last 24 hours I watched on Channel 5. There's a very masculine reporter named Will Thomas. I mean, if he could, he would do the news with his sweater tied around his shoulders. You know, the way that those that those guys, those
homo,
those guys do it. You know what I mean? We were getting some interference there, Mike. We were getting some CB interference.
Homo.
And I'm not really sure exactly what's going on. Because
homo.
If we keep playing this tape,
homo.
I'm not going to be able to talk about the gentleman I wanted to talk about.
Homo.
We would be in
homo. Homo.
And really, we don't know.
No, who knows?
And not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right. So anyway.
The new set is referred to as the birdcage.
Personally, I believe with this guy that he's like G.I. Joe.
There's pretty asexual?
Just shiny, you know, plastic down there. Yeah. Just plastic. So it was a story about I'm Will Thomas for Fox 5, and the story is, and he has that fake, I'm being sincere and delivering the news because I care, but he wants to be dramatic, too, because he's on
Fox.
Wants
to make his voice
deeper. I'm out here on the street. Things have never, ever looked worse.
So here's the Channel 5 investigative team.
Yes.
Sends him out to find out of the cab services, which arrive on time. If you call for a cab,
hard hitting.
How long will it take? Well, this is the only reason I stayed with the story, because it involved Will Thomas not dressed in his Anchorman outfit,
right?
But out on the street,
waiting for a cab in a bunny suit.
He's got a shirt on. The collar is not as big as Nipsey Russell, but it's like John Davidson style.
Well, no, it looks like John Davidson style. What it is, it's a regular size collar. It's just based on his small head.
And he's got the V-neck sweater underneath it, and then what he's done is he's done this thing that I just
homo.
I can't get past this. When a guy's wearing a shirt with a sweater,
right?
What he does is he rolls up the sweater and then neatly rolls the shirt, folds it over
in a perfect 4-inch square.
So he's got the whatever the pink or pink that would be
homo.
With the blue sweater that he's got on.
No, it was mesh.
It goes down just below his elbow, and then there's like a 6-inch cuff.
Yes.
Okay. Which is what he's done, and he's got on, and you can play it for me.
Homo.
He's got on shorts.
I noticed that he's got on very tight jeans. He has on.
You know, you really spent some time looking at him.
Mike, it was a. I can't help it that I've got this type of a memory. Uh-huh. That.
Come on, admit it. Why don't you just admit it? Why?
Homo.
Come on, tell the truth.
I think
you love him.
Homo.
Haven't I played the tape 1,000 times here? Yes.
Homo.
As a matter of fact, Will Thomas, will you marry me?
Yes. Tight jeans and buckled shoes.
Big pilgrim hat. It's funny because it was him on the street. Uh-huh. They would have the shot of him wearing this, you know, like casual outfit, and they'd show him chatting up on his cell, going, "Yes, I will be phoned to 21st and 24th Street." And then it was him shots of him waiting in the street, and then
I'm waiting.
Him actually walking over to the cabin, and the results, Allison. Well, King Cab came in 17, but I mean, it, you know, whatever. But, man, that Will Thomas, he's great.
Will Thomas tries to catch a ride.
We have nothing but good things to say about him. However, Grady, over at Channel 4.
Yeah.
There's less than an hour to go now until the deadline to turn in tax returns. Some post offices around the area have stayed open later than usual to accommodate last-minute filers.
Mrs. Britton's finest hour.
Good.
I seem to have lost my upper plate. I'm sorry. I'm the best.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, fellas. How you going? This is Nick from Sacramento.
Hi there, Nick.
Hey, guys. I just want to let you guys know that Mr. Lopez got his fame on the NASCAR this weekend by apparently saying, "Start your engines" in the old Spanish. Didn't know if you guys heard about that.
Wait, what happened? You're being a little too...
I follow. Thank you.
What is it?
Thank you. Goodbye.
Interpret.
Thank you. Goodbye. Yesterday...
You speak sneer.
At NASCAR, George Lopez was the guy that said, "Gentlemen, start your engines."
Gentlemen, trabajo y regiones.
Do you have the blues?
The blues, I've got to say, it's really an honor. It's an incredible honor to be part of NASCAR.
Would you like to have
me back? Who is your favorite driver? Do you like Jeff Gordon? Jimmy Johnson?
Dale Jr.
Oh, Dale Jr. is enormously popular.
The blues. He lost the race. He has the blues.
What a shame. Oh, man. Where is Michael Waltrip?
I had some other news about... I'll wait on that one. We do have a George Lopez segment today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good.
Spotlight on... the incredibly talented George Lopez.
Man, my ratings have gone down in a half hour. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, man, the bleacher bum.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
This is not a bonus day for fashion, guys. Rolling the sleeve over the sweater is called zhuzhing. And you'd know that if you watch Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Hello.
And Carson is the bomb.
Zhuzhing is a popular thing. It's the right thing to do.
He is very smart.
Zhuzhing.
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 Zhuzhing. Thanks, Buzz. Mr. West Hollywood.
You ever been doing the zhuzhing and you got an oopsie? I bet the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, I bet they know how to deal with the oopsie.
Gentlemen, start your zhuzhing. Zhuzhing.
There's less than an hour to go now until the deadline to turn in tax returns.
That's Mr. Vance.
There he is.
And it's zhuzhing. Thank you, Buzz.
Certainly.
I don't want to get in trouble with the sponsors.
The weekend that I had. Oh, hold on. Before the weekend.
Yes.
Robbie.
Yes.
Rob had a very memorable moment at his personal appearance this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
At the Jeremy Coleman Power Sports place?
No. I want to say it right, because they actually were very kind. Patriot Harley-Davidson.
Yeah. Oh, they're good.
So you got the personal appearance thing happening.
There's like 200 running Harley-Davidsons. It's never been more peaceful.
Wow.
It's so nice to unwind there. But lots of nice people, and one lady sticks out, because she came up to me. We were signing people up for a drawing, and she said, "You probably don't remember me." And I said, "I don't think I do." She said, "I came into the studio and I was a winner of one of your contests."
Oh.
I said, "Really? What contest?" I guess it was a gardening contest. She was the biggest bush.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Remember that contest that we gave away? We gave away laser hair removal for unwanted hair
and
down there.
She was the winner? Yeah, and she was very excited. And I mean, just when you thought it couldn't get any more awkward and how great that laser hair removal had been, she said, "Yeah, my husband loves it. Here's my husband. Come over here, honey."
Oh, wow.
So I got to meet the husband.
How's she looking?
You know, I didn't really recognize the face, but he looks good. And then when I thought it could get no more awkward, I mean, there was a pause, and I said, "You know, I've had the laser removal on my back." She said, "No, it's great. It's really great." I said, "Yeah, it's great." She said, "It's so great, I'm giving it to my daughter for her graduation."
Well, you know, summer's coming. And,
man. I said, what do you say to that?
I said, "Here's a keychain. Nice to meet you."
What the hell do you say to
that? Was she wearing the Harley chaps, like with the the backless chaps?
Everybody was wearing leather. I don't know. I saw it in beards and everything. Yeah. But nice folks, those Harley folks.
And also Gladys Kravitz, if you're listening to us on KFH FM in Kansas, in Wichita. Yes, Gladys the Nad Gobbler. She's a big Washington Nads fan.
Yes, she is.
You should know, darling, that Rob's cruelty knows no bounds.
I'm sure.
Today, Beth Ann comes into the office, and she says, "Rob, do you know who GK is from the town in Kansas where Gladys lives?"
Uh-huh.
Rob said, "Yes, it's Gladys Kravitz." Says, "You got a letter from him." Rob takes the letter. It says, "To the Don and Mike Show, blah, blah, attention, Rob."
Uh-huh.
Monkey news. Wacky monkey news.
No, we like that.
Rosie's new TV name is what she's written on the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
Rob did not even open the envelope.
Uh-huh.
He wrote on it, and it's going back today. He wrote on it very big, "Return to sender, addressee dead."
Wow.
Oh, we've extended her.
I love your hate.
She's banned from using the mail now. She's been banned from the show through Christmas of this year. Mm-hmm. And now also she's cannot mail us anything.
Well, she's listening right now. She's hearing this.
Yeah. Gladys.
She knows this. No.
Well, maybe she should turn
her address.
There you go, Robin.
She should turn off the radio and focus on raising that family.
Wow.
A little attention goes a long way with a child.
I thought her children were wonderful when they were on the show. Her retarded children.
They look like the before side of a Ritalin ad.
Do you remember that one? Ma!
Oh, no!
Christ, was there one in the Safeway on Sunday morning?
At 8 o'clock?
Yeah, now.
You are a creature. If you're anything, you are a creature of habit.
The great thing is, I was discussing this with Frida, that normally I'm shy in real life, and I'm not very outgoing.
That's true.
Yet, I love going to the grocery store when no one's there, and I get to know the people that work in this particular grocery store.
You're comfortable with it.
You know, there's AJ, and then there's the frozen foods guy, and then there's the other guy with the beverages.
Right.
So I see these guys, and I walk around, and I'm checking out at about 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. Got all the supplies that we need, you know, all three of us now. And incidentally, why don't you ask me in that game show way?
Yes.
How's my mother-in-law?
How's your mother-in-law?
Supermarket sweep. She is super.
Uh-huh.
That's all I want to say.
How's the trifecta?
She's living with us now, you know.
You mentioned.
No. Yeah.
And that's going well?
We had a great.
In your home?
Yes. Oh, wow. This remind me about the grocery store. Let me tell you just a great sidebar about Big Frida.
Okay.
So on Sunday, my wife was out on some adventure, and I'm at home.
How's your residence?
I'm at home with my mother-in-law, and I was playing Xbox Live, John Madden. Even though I'm 46, this is what I do.
You wear, you like to do.
And I was playing online with some tool.
Choose your escape.
And for a change, I'm killing this guy. It's 35 to 10.
Well, you've gotten a lot of practice. You should be getting better at it.
Well, my record is still like 70 and 110.
Well, to rebuild.
Turn the corner.
I'm working my way towards the 500 mark.
There you go.
So I'm playing, and she comes upstairs, and she says, I don't mean to bother you in the middle of something. Can you come downstairs and look at the TV downstairs?
Again?
Now, yes, and I'm in the middle of this online thing,
yeah,
so
but
I say to her, maybe not as sweetly as I should have, I said, you know, I know exactly what I did. I went like this. I went, I put the controller down. I said, it's just a video game. I'd be glad to come downstairs and help you. Mm-hmm. So we go downstairs, I'm standing at the TV, and I say, okay, what is it that you need? She said, the DVD. Mm-hmm. Frida said that you would know how to do the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a TV that I'm looking at, and I'm trying, keep in mind that the clock is running. I paused the game.
Yeah, she was watching one of Buzz's.
Yeah, when it was porno. I've only got 30 seconds. So I'm down there going, hey, now you want to look at, and meanwhile, in my head, the clock is still ticking on the game going upstairs. I'm thinking,
it's almost time, kid.
I'm thinking, if I don't get back up there to continue this game, the computer's going to say that I quit. I'm going to lose. Mm-hmm. And like, it means so much to me because I'm so freaking pathetic.
You're winning.
So I say to her, exactly what is it? I say, you know what? Let me go back up and pause the game again. So I run back upstairs.
Do you just have to, like, press a button and then pause it again, and you get an extra 30 seconds?
You get three pauses per half.
Right.
So doesn't count as a timeout. It's like you just need some personal
And you only
time.
Get 30 seconds?
Yeah. Well, if the guy on the other side, if he's playing, if he doesn't know I got my mother-in-law hooking my TV up.
Right.
He's sitting there in his underpants playing the game. He sees I've paused it. He can push a button that says, listen, hey, come on, dude, get back in 30 seconds. So I'm back downstairs with her again. Now I've given up on the video game. And I've decided I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to just help my mother-in-law with this problem with the TV.
Wow. How is your clock management?
So now I'm standing in front of the TV and the DVD player, and I said, and the TV's on.
Right.
It's on the History Channel or something. And I said, what do you need? And she said, well, the DVD. Frida said you'd know about the DVD. So I'm down there for 10 minutes, turning on the DVD player.
Right.
Get the tray opening up, the things coming in and out, and I said to her, do you have a DVD that you want? She said, no, Frida said you would know. And finally, This is not a TV
have
that
I got a DVD for you.
Finally, this is not a TV that I've hooked up. So my wife hooked this thing up, and I said, you know, I'm really sorry. I'm normally very good at electronics. I'm afraid I can't get the DVD to work. I don't know what the problem is. She said, okay, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. So I went back upstairs, turned off the Xbox, thought, you know what? I probably was kind of a Dick Cheney with her. I'm gonna go downstairs. So I go back downstairs. She's watching TV. And I said, hey, you know, if I came on strong, I'm sorry about that. And she couldn't have been nicer. She said, don't worry about it. I know how it is to be interrupted. You were playing your game. She said, I figured it out anyway. And I said, oh, good, what are you watching? And she said, Fox News. I said, the TV was already on.
Yeah.
But when we came down, the TV was on. She said, oh, I didn't know it was the TV. I thought it was the DVD. And I'm biting my tongue, mm-hmm. you know, because yeah. she's my mother-in-law.
She thinks she's watching a DVD?
Well, I guess the History Channel logo
right.
kind of went by.
Yeah.
That she didn't catch on that. And all she had wanted all along was just Fox News.
Why did she ask for a DVD?
Because yesterday, at the same TV, Frida had been watching a DVD.
Oh.
And she thought that somehow, if she just happened to turn the same TV on, uh-huh. that Frida's DVD would be playing.
I'm totally lost. And I think I understand, though. It's the technology.
Yeah,
and trying to explain to an older person that, for example, you don't have to have a TV on for your VCR to tape a show. That's a concept they can't quite grasp.
She's pretty technically savvy.
Right.
But I was standing there inside. The real ass in me was screaming, just screaming, I just lost a ranked game. Because if I had just come down and you said, I want to watch Fox News, I would have said, it's four goddamn channels away. You're on 63, turn it on to 59.
Come on!
But I was able to squelch all of that and just push it down inside.
Well, it's the first real weekend, too.
Yeah.
It's the first official, you know, full weekend, you know, Friday to Monday.
But she's a sweetheart. She's doing her best. Oh, today was she great today. And I mean that. She is really so aware of the fact that, you know, I talk about her on the air.
Sure.
Because we got 4 hours to fill, mm-hmm. and I want you to know what's going on in my life. Mm-hmm. Really, even though I bitch and complain about it, it's not an imposition. Right. She's wonderful, and I would have it no other way.
Good fodder.
But because there's always a little truth in kidding,
mm-hmm.
I love the fact, like, today, my wife was out running some errands, and I actually was looking for my mother-in-law because she hadn't poked her head in to say, you know, how do I do this or what's happening with this? And we have a nice big house, and she was upstairs with the doors shut in her own room where I just heard, like, the muddle. You know, we got 8,000 friggin' TVs in my house.
Right.
And she got a very little one in the room that she's in, and I just hear the muffled tones of whatever, you know. I'm not alive on Fiona. And I just, you know, I just do one of these. I go, hey, Grandma, how you doing? Not here.
I'm fine.
Just
trying to stay out of your way.
Oh, you know, no. Hiding from you.
No.
Oh.
Don't want to be a birdie.
Oh, no.
You know, and I go, okay, well, you know, you come on out.
Yeah.
Said, no.
Yeah, you don't want to walk in there and, like, see Brooks was here.
He says, no,
it's fine. It's fine.
And then I got a little worried. And then she said,
don't think I'm going to make it on the outside.
You're a little worried because she says, as I'm walking away, I said, okay, well, I just noticed that the door was shut. And, you know,
I'm just changing here.
Okay, listen, I understand.
Yeah, then
Then lock the door, for goodness sakes, lock that door.
What you should say as you leave is, you know, thank you, and solitude is not a crime. What you're doing is fine.
Rob, listen, you know they say that thing about that you marry the daughter, you marry the mother?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not the truth. I imagine that the sex is better with my wife than it would be with my mother-in-law.
You can only guess.
Oh, dear me.
But.
Oh, my.
But I will say.
My, oh, my.
She is living at your house.
But I will. No, I'm just saying. Beyond that, I think my mother-in-law Probably.
Where are you going with this? I'm confused.
She treats me nicer than my wife does.
Ah, that's what it is.
And that's the object of the game we're designing.
How's your mother-in-law?
It's going to be a good game.
Like, she says all the things that I love to hear.
Ah,
just like, you know, just I'll just be farting around doing the normal stuff, and she'll just say, oh, mm. She'll look at me real proud. I say, what? She go, you just work so hard. You've worked so hard all those years. Uh-huh. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, I, in essence, could be married to my mother-in-law, except...
Yeah, you are an outstanding provider.
Except the, you know... I like I said, I don't say that. I don't think the sex would be as good.
Right.
That's the only reason I brought that up.
Perhaps Mrs. Source will evolve to that.
Oh, dear. My wife?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, right. She could let her mom in our bedroom.
No, that's not what I'm into.
You mean that
it wouldn't be as good simply because of the age difference, right?
Yeah.
All things being equal.
Of course.
And it might be awkward.
Yeah. Of course. Now, I don't even want to think about back in the day if I was...
Dear me.
Wow.
Well, you could perhaps gather up some old photo albums. Oh, this is disturbing.
Okay.
This is not right.
No, I wasn't even going to talk about that. I was going to talk about the grocery store.
But what I was saying is that maybe eventually Frida will appreciate what you do as she, you know, becomes wiser like her mother.
Which Frida? Little Frida or
Little
Big Frida?
Little Frida will become like Big Frida and appreciate what you do.
Is that the way you think your marriage will go?
No, Carrie won't live much longer. So, I mean, all things being equal, and if Carrie were to live, maybe
still
it would happen.
Optimism, I like
it
that.
It could happen.
Yeah. No, and you know, listen.
You almost got positive there for a second. Almost. You know, dangerously so.
Right? It's just, it's still a learning curve for me, this whole having her live with us.
Like, sounds like you're enjoying it.
Yeah, Mike, I'm making the best. What did Martha say?
You're making pudding.
Yeah. When life gives you lemons, you know, make a nice oopsie.
You're making pudding out of oopsies.
Hello. Not in my show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What can we do for you?
Hey, I've got a... Oh, sorry about that. Hey, I've got a... Todd McDermott, you were talking about the pouty bee stung lip guy.
Yes.
His wife is Melissa McDermott. And she does the overnight CBS feed from, television feed from New York City.
Huh.
Just an update. She's real hot. You gotta check her out. And Buzz may know.
Macaulay Culkin's wife does the late night overnight TV feeds?
Yeah, I got the guy right. He's got them potty beast.
Hold on. Are you talking about Todd McDermott, the anchor guy, or Macaulay Culkin?
No. I'm talking about McDermott.
Okay, so Todd McDermott, the TV anchor guy.
He is right. I mean, Todd McDermott does have pouty bee-stung lips.
Like Macaulay Culkin.
So his wife is a network anchor, even though it's overnight.
Yes, exactly. Her name is Melissa, and Buzz may know this. Her father is Mike Oatman, a big radio guy in Wichita. So.
Can we all just stop and think about this?
Yes.
35 seconds we'll never get back.
Love you guys.
Keep laughing, ass.
Love you.
Keep laughing.
Bye.
So in the grocery store Saturday, Sunday morning.
Yes.
I'm waiting in the line. I'm getting the stuff out of the cart, and there's a mom that comes up behind me with her little kid. Mm-hmm. The little kid's got on his soccer suit. He appears to be about 7. Mm-hmm. And she starts saying to him, put that down, put that, it's standard stuff. You know, put that down. This kid, I am not kidding you, starts screaming. The kid starts going, stop it! Stop it! Mm-hmm. Stop it!
Total tantrum.
And he's going out of his mind, and the mother's doing nothing. She's saying to him, you're embarrassing me. And I'm looking at the checker. Huh? And you know, I look at the checker, I go, hey now.
Was there a British lady like in a maroon suit?
No, but listen to this. There was no super nanny, but listen to what this kid does. What? So he's not getting attention from his mom.
Right.
Who says these kids today are not smart? He's screaming like someone has cut off his arm.
Uh-huh.
And everybody knows he's just a spoiled little brat in his goddamn soccer uniform. And mommy's getting all the... I know what she's doing.
How old would you estimate the child to be?
7 to 8.
Okay.
And she's doing what we did with our kid when he was young and what you do with your kids. You know, when it's your turn to be like the mom or the dad at the soccer game, you got to go to the grocery store and get all the little juice boxes.
Yeah, right.
So
exactly.
So that's what they're doing. They're doing the juice box thing. And the kid is screaming because he wants something and it's annoying and he's yelling and no one says anything to this lady. Like, you know, shut that animal up. And the kid's getting absolutely no response.
Mm-hmm.
So he turns it up a notch.
Really?
Gotta give him credit.
As opposed to just quitting, he tweaks it?
I swear to God, I'm standing there. There's a grocery cart between me, the kid, and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
I see the people. The teller sees the people with the problem. She does nothing to him.
Right.
All she says is, shh, hey, be quiet. Oh, we're not going to go play soccer today. Now, you just stop that and think about it. The kid immediately goes, ow! My mom is hitting me! Ow! Don't hit me!
Really?
I am not kidding.
So he's fabricating an assault.
Yes!
Wow.
And now he says that, of course, eyes turn around in the supermarket.
Right.
Everybody turns around.
God.
Everybody turns around. And
what a precocious lad.
And he ended up getting his way.
Really?
She got him a candy or whatever?
Because he just, whatever it was that he wanted, which was right at eye level as you're checking out, whatever it was, he ended up taking and slamming down into the cart. And she said, okay, that's fine. That's fine.
That's why he'll continue to do it.
That's fine.
Be on The Apprentice. You're supposed to take him out in that situation. No matter where you are, no matter what you're about to do, you remove the child, take him for a little talking to.
You didn't mean take him out. Take him out of the store. You get him out of the store completely. Drop everything.
The celebrity the child most resembled?
Who?
I'm not kidding. Baruz. from 24.
I want the candy, mommy.
Paris.
Gone. And it's,
please be quiet. I will give you a cinnamon stick later.
You know, nobody's says anything. The kid is
nobody says anything anymore. You know, when you were growing up, did you ever have when I was growing up, when I was a little kid, if I saw friends of mine get out of line or I got out of line, and you had a neighbor that knew you and you were like in the grocery store, the neighbor would tell you to shut up, right?
Yeah.
In a minute.
And there would occasionally be physical contact.
Occasionally
you'd face knuckle.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's when you must beat the child for the parent.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, day and age, you can't even say anything.
That's when you must.
Yeah.
You simply must stand up and say, listen, I'm sorry you won't do it. And then,
wow.
Do you think it would have helped if you'd just gone to the child and yelled at the child like he was yelling?
Just go,
like,
shut up! Shut up!
No, not
shut
even
up.
That. If you just walked up to the child and
screamed.
Oh, God, Rob.
That would work.
Jesus, Rob.
I've done that to my own kids.
Clear the store.
Kids love it.
Oh, my God.
Shut up!
How terrified those children must be.
Only you can do that. Only you can prevent forest fires. Hi, Joe.
Funny that should come
up. Why what?
Some years back, I was in a store, and there was a kid just absolutely jumping up and down, screaming in this cart. And the mother was had enough of it, but wouldn't do anything about it. Kind of went around the edge of the aisle, and I leaned over the kid, and I said, knock it off, or I'll beat you. And the kid just stopped and stared at me, and I walked up the aisle, and I kept looking over my shoulder, and the kid just clutching to the cart.
Nice going, Boogeyman. That's nice.
Great. That works. I like that.
And that child later grew up. That was little Ted Bundy.
Yeah. Yeah. And when that kid sees Otto on The Simpsons, he freaks out. Now.
People have often wondered what set Ted Bundy off.
Joe would do it again, except he's not allowed to get within 50 feet of the child.
Restraining order.
We really got to take a break here. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello. Hi.
How you doing, sir?
Okay.
Yeah, I used to do the same thing to my mother. I mean, not jumping up and down, but I used to run away from my mother in the middle of a store anywhere. Like one time, she was up in a the changing room, and she just had her clothes off and had the door shut, and I flung it open and run out.
Maybe. Okay. Right. Thanks for the contribution.
Glad you're still proud of that as a grown man. That was A.H. going.
Another hat.
A real hat.
I'll tell you something that reminds me of what World's Greatest Mother Fran used to do to Jimmy and I. What'd she do? We would be out at the mall. I'm talking Landover Mall.
Right.
That was a happening mall back then. We'd be out shopping. If we would do something she wouldn't like the way we were acting,
right,
she would take us back. She would go get clothes like we were going to try them on.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, this is true. She would take us back to the changing room. We'd get into the changing room, and then she would just smack us.
Inside the changing room.
Because she didn't want to hit us.
Publicly.
Yeah. And I don't mean like, you know, beat us. Mm-hmm. You know, it would just be, you are embarrassing me so much now. Don't you? No more lip. No more. Okay. Oh, you think so? March yourself. Get yourself.
You know the movie Starship Troopers?
Yeah.
You know when they're fighting the bugs and the bugs have those pincers? Those pincers weren't as strong as my mom's fingers when she would grab our elbow.
Amen to that.
In the grocery store, it was just like, you stop that right now. And meanwhile, you're looking down at your arm that's starting to atrophy, you know, because it's going to actually fall off.
Yeah.
At the bicep, it's actually going to fall off. That's how powerful it was.
Yeah. I remember the one time We were in Giant. Okay, that's a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, this was in Upper Marlboro, so I had to be like in fourth grade. I don't know what I did to piss her off. I think it was, oh, I know, it was something like the Brox candies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Something where they're sitting out, and I ate some of them in any way. I know she saw me eat them, and she gave me the look, and we went through the whole grocery store, and like, nothing's going on. And then she said, oh, hold on a second. She said to my brother, stay here for a second.
Mommy's got to go get a feather.
She said, no, she said, come here. You've got to get cleaned up. You've got something on you. Come here. She says this to me.
Uh-huh.
This is a half hour after I've eaten these candies, pulling these candies. She said, come here. We just come in the bathroom. Come here. You got something on your shirt. She walked right in the men's room, because that's what moms do.
Right.
You take your kid. I'm like a little kid. Uh-huh. She got me by the hand. She takes the door, and she shuts me. She shuts the door, and she says, I'm like a shaking babies, and she says, I saw you touch that candy. Don't you take those candy. But she didn't want to do this in front of anybody.
Right.
You lead it rare.
So it's like, it's cool to take me in back into the bathroom.
Yes, sure.
At Giant, so she could yell at me for eating the candy.
Did your mom have a weapon of choice in the home that you were disciplined with?
It was made by my father.
Oh, really? You had something made?
He wrote on it. Mm-hmm. It looked like a bread slicing board. It looked like
a paddle.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Anyway, yeah, a paddle. And he wrote on it, in his old Sam lettering, that's his name, Board of Education. I'm not kidding.
Well, you know, he had kids in school that had that.
There was a lot of times my mom would be chasing my brother around the house.
Right.
You know,
my mom fancied a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen often.
As a little kid, I got a fly swatter that had a steel handle, and then as I got older...
Steel handle, but it was still soft plastic at the end.
Yeah, but it could probably flick you pretty good.
Oh, it stung pretty good, and then as I got older, and that became less effective, and I figured out how to wear more underwear to increase the padding...
now he wears none.
That's when I got used to it. I kind of like it now. Yeah. Then my dad's belt came into play.
Oh, the belt.
That was dad's leather belt.
Oh, the belt.
There was never an instrument of destruction used on me, but my uncles were always forced to go out to the yard and pick their own switch.
Really?
Yeah. That's the old days.
Yeah.
That's like old school. That's like Andy of Mayberry stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, son, go out back. I'd almost just rather have the...
But you no corporal punishment in your history, Mr. Soft?
Oh, no, they beat the hell out of me. They just use their hands. Fists of fury.
I don't see your dad, like, walloping you.
You know what? I was so scared. I really wasn't a very bad kid.
Right.
I didn't like the pain.
My dad never did any... My dad was big in the verbal stuff. My dad was big with the damn dummy and, you know, you're dumb and your brother's stupid. It was my mom that would come with the uppercuts. Mm. My mom would just be, you know, boom, like Mike Tyson.
My dad would be great for in the car. Because he would almost, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about getting spanked because we would be in a head-on collision before that would happen, because it would be like one of these things where, Dad, we want to go, listen, I'm going to pull this car over, don't you? And the car's like going across six lanes of traffic. I think the only time my dad ever hit me, he made it worthwhile, though. He hit me with a Coke bottle.
Oh, man.
Nobody was really mad.
Yeah, of course.
He was really, really mad at me.
You don't want to use a Coke bottle unless you mean it. Did he hit you or throw it?
He knocked me with it, and it was when I was older. It was I was like 14, 15, and he knocked me with it and used a word that I had never heard him use before. And
what did it start with?
His C, and he was referring to bad behavior that we'd done with some girls in the neighborhood, and the combination.
What was the second letter? O.
No.
C.
In Toledo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your dad called you that?
No, not me. No. He said, you can chase all the...
He was fired up.
And no, he was super fired.
How about your dad?
So here was the combination.
Dropping that bomb.
But oh my God. And I'm talking about there were not any of the junior words that had ever been used around me.
Up to it.
No way. He went right to the penthouse. He went to the penthouse with the Coke bottle, and I was just like, I didn't do anything anymore. Wow. It freaked me out.
C word.
Once. Only once. And it was just like, I mean, the Coke bottle, I didn't even feel it.
Was it almost worth it?
No.
Although we got a break.
Horrible.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
There's less than an hour to go now until the deadline to turn in tax returns. Some post offices around the area have stayed open later than usual to accommodate last-minute filers.
Hey, Grady.
Yes, hello.
Grady and his peepers.
Okay, the weekend. Hold on, let's take a phone call. Well, hold on, you took out the other one and put in that one in. Oh, that was for Jim Vance. Yeah. Okay. I gotcha. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Buddy.
Hi there.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You've never had your ass beat until you had your ass beat with a piece of Hot Wheel track.
Oh,
the kind in the 70s?
Yeah.
My mom used to have this shoe that she'd swat us with. And I forget what I did wrong, but she popped me with it. And I said, you know, that doesn't even hurt anymore.
Yeah, don't say
and
that. I did that.
I was playing with my Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheel track.
And she reached down and grabbed a piece of that track and beat my ass with it.
Wow.
Just makes it matter when you say it doesn't
hurt. We do have a winner.
Welcome to How's Your Corporal Punishment?
How's Your Bruising? Santa brought Robert some of that Hot Wheel track for Christmas. Oh. I didn't know it was multi-use.
Black Peter.
The weekend was, a family weekend for me. I mean, really, the family weekend, besides the fact...
Lots of togetherness?
Yeah, well, you know, Frida, a big Frida mother-in-law, and my kid came back this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to this schedule. I don't know how he does... It's because he's 20.
Right.
He's able to do this, and I don't know if this makes us bad parents or good parents that we let him do this, but here's the deal. His gal pal at college mm-hmm. had gotten him tickets for a show in Philly okay. on Saturday night.
Okay.
So they wanted to come up from South Carolina for the show. Mm-hmm. They were going to drive the whole way. I said, that's idiotic. Let's go to independenceair.com
mm-hmm.
because they will give us free plane tickets.
Right.
Right. So, you know, because they're a sponsor on the show. So right. they get free tickets. And, mm-hmm. you know, and Mike, I want to say this. They might as well have been free with the how low the prices are.
Pretty incredible, I think.
IndependenceAir.com.
Yeah.
Baby air. So that's all I want to say. Thank you to them. So,
did you see that kid on the latest Independence Air flight that was in the line at the checkout?
No, I did not.
I think it was the same kid.
So the thing is, here's his schedule.
Yes.
That his plane got in Friday night at 10 p.m. So, went to the, hold on, this call, Joe has screened a call that I just believe is sick. Hello, Brad.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Brad.
Hey, when are you guys going to put a picture of Big Frida up there? I'm having trouble finishing.
Very wrong.
Put a picture of my mother-in-law on the website.
Get it right on the website.
God.
Do you mind? Get it right up there now.
You find it?
Hi, this is Don's mother-in-law, Big Frida.
Right, click here.
Stop it.
Double click.
Aren't you through yet?
So the schedule is the boys coming back Friday night, 10 o'clock, go to the airport, pick him up, pick the gal pal up. Saturday, we had a very nice day together. The girlfriend's a good influence on him. He's actually acting like he's perhaps 20 years old.
You like her?
Yeah, I do. And I was blown away on Saturday morning when at about 10 a.m., He was awake and walking around, and I heard him say to her, you better get up now because you don't want to sleep the day away.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Said, hold on.
It's a revelation.
Hold on. You know, this is...
Your son?
Yeah, my kid. Right. He says, Dad, I've got the sleep under control. We had a nice day together, had some laughs. Here's the deal. The concert in Philadelphia is at 11 o'clock. On Saturday night.
Wow.
I didn't even know the timetable on this until I was talking with him about this. So here's...
the life of rock stars.
Mm-hmm. So here's what he's doing. He flies into town, sees Frida and I for a while on Saturday, then he takes our pickup truck and drives to Philly for a show that starts at 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
At night. I figure the show will be over, you know, at 1. Mm-hmm. And then I'm...
And then he's going to come back?
Yeah, because then I'm stuck with the dilemma now. What do I... Because his plane leaves Sunday morning at 10:30.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh. Well, again, Mike...
Wow.
That's the way I run things. You get him in, you get him in, you get him out.
Right.
Before he came back, I really hadn't done the math in my mind about, well, mm-hmm. Philly's 3 hours away, and if he wants to go to a concert in Philly, that's okay. I was thinking the concert would be like at 8 o'clock. I didn't know it was at 11 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So I sent him with the best directions that I could come up with from when we've been to Philly before.
Okay.
About how to get up there. All I know is that the theater was somewhere on South Street.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's, like anything, there's a good part of South Street and
sure.
a part of South Street that... Ain't too good.
You can make a wrong turn in Philly and be in a world of hurt. It can happen.
So he gets up there and he announces, he says, Dad, we're here. We're going to have to wait in line. Now, this is, you know, if only if I had the drive that this kid has and his girlfriend had, you know, and I had to stop myself from saying to him because I would sound like such an old fart.
Right.
You know, if you applied yourself half as hard to things at school as you do to getting up to Philadelphia to see, you know, Happy Jack and the Pancakes.
Right.
Then things would be
I love that band, though.
They are hot.
I love it. It's fantastic.
So they leave our house at 5 on Saturday afternoon to drive to Philly. And I say, because I've told them to leave like 6 hours before the concert, so you can navigate your way around the city.
Right.
Meanwhile, Saturday night, it's another dream scenario. I'm out to eat with my two favorite babes.
Right.
My wife and my mother-in-law.
How was the Sizzler?
Oh, it was, Mike, I'm sorry, it was not Sizzler this time.
No.
It was, what's that? what's the one you like that Rob hates?
Iron Skillet?
Iron
Skillet. Man, you drove to Fredericksburg?
Oh, wow. Well, I love the interstate eating. I say, get me on 66 West.
Oh, yeah, and then he can eat and get right on the highway.
So we're at dinner, and the phone rings, and it's him. And I go, hey, what's happening? He says, we're here. We've got to wait outside for the concert to start.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terribly cold, but my kid, because he's 20 and he's in college, he is wearing a pair of jeans. He's got flip-flops on.
Right.
He's got like a suit jacket and a Fred Sanford shirt.
Okay.
He's not really dressed for the elements, but I figure, what the hell.
Mm-hmm.
Concert, I'm guessing, is starting. This is where I'm going now on trust.
Right.
He's 20. She's 20.
No opening act or anything like that?
I think Garbage was playing, I think, before, but whoever he wanted to see was on at 11.
Mm.
So we were at dinner, and there. We got back home, and Frida said to me, do you think we should let him go up there? I said, here's the thing. He does all kinds of stuff that I'm sure I can't fathom, that I'm sure I've done 1,000 times worse in my life.
You don't know about.
And also, I mean, there are a lot of times he's away at college, and I'll say, what are you going to do this weekend? He says, I'm going to Atlanta this weekend, or I'm going to Charlotte this weekend, or I'm going to, I don't know where the hell he's going. I don't know what he does. I mean, that's the great thing. When you got a kid and he's 20, he's finally to the point where you go, okay, I trust you, just go.
You've kind of done what you can, and they're little adults.
But it doesn't mean that you don't worry. And
of course.
I did, and I woke up, I guess, about 1:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and thought, boy, he should have been here. So I called the cell, and I got the voicemail right away.
Or
should
have been on the road, probably.
Yeah, right. he should be on the way back home.
if the concert was going to end at 1 o'clock.
He'd be a hell of a driver.
George Jetson.
So I get the voicemail, and then I try to go back to sleep, and it's like 2:15, and I call and get the voicemail.
Right.
And now I'm thinking, Frida is sleeping next to me, and I want to wake her up, because I've realized, not only do I not really know where he's going, I don't know, all I know is somewhere on South Street in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the band, I don't know the club, I don't know Jack.
Yeah. And now under normal circumstances, if this is happening when he's in school, it's not going to be a big deal.
See, the thing is,
because
I don't know.
He's under your direct care now because he's been in your house this weekend and he's coming back
to
your house.
And there's the girl. He's got the girl. It's like 1:30. That's 2:30 a.m. Still, there's nothing. I'm laying in bed. Finally, at 3:45, the telephone rings. Hey, Dad, did you try to call me? I say, yeah, right. No ass. Where you at? We are just leaving Philly.
Oh, boy.
I said, what's going on? He said, oh, the show was great. We had to wait an hour and a half after the show to meet the guys in the band, and they signed the CD. I said, okay, that's great. Are you?
They sleepily signed the CD.
I said, are you tired? No, I'm fine. He says, I'm fine, and I've had coffee and whatever, Red Bull or whatever.
Right.
I'm fine. So meanwhile, he's doing great. I've not slept a goddamn wink.
Right.
Frida's now awake because the phone. She's like, who was that? I said, well, who do you think was Bart? She says, 3:45, where is he? I said, he just left Philly.
So he'll be driving to the airport.
Well, here's the deal. He ended up driving, obviously, straight home to deliver the car. He got back about 6:15. I was already up. I had to take him to the airport at 7. The kid.
How was he feeling?
Here's the power, the power of woman.
Right.
The power of the scent of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
The kid that I know, even on his best day, he pulls an all-nighter.
Right.
On top of arriving late, he is just the biggest ass in the world.
Sure.
No, because the girlfriend was there.
Hi, Dad.
How are you?
You would not, Mike. You're doing the exact. At one point.
No, we're tired, but I mean, it was a great show.
There's the airport sign. This is my kid, and right. I'm the whole time I'm driving them to the airport. I'm not believing the fact that he's not cursing under his breath, mm-hmm. or he's sitting there having the conversation with her. She's saying,
"Come on, Dad, get the luggage out."
No, and also he's very polite in front of this chick.
Right.
You know,
nice.
It's like, "Thank
well,
you,
that's
Dad."
Good. She's a good influence.
Thank
on
you,
him.
Dad. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mom. You know. Just don't. It was a long time. I'm making too much out of it. It was a long trip. I don't know how he does it. Meanwhile, me.
So they came back and kind of like spent one night there at your place, and then
very briefly.
And then it was an all-nighter.
Then the all-nighter. Then we had breakfast. Then I took him to the airport. I got back home yesterday afternoon, and I crashed.
How are you feeling?
I was Rob. You know, you called me.
Yeah.
At about noon, and I think Carrie called as well.
Yeah.
And you both just got a big. Piece of me biting your ass off, like you're supposed to know that I'm tired.
If there was some way to communicate with sound, the sound of someone clenching their eyes shut and shaking their head. Every answer sounded like that.
I'm all right.
I don't know.
Just let me go to bed. Did your wife share any of this warning, or was she able to saw wood?
No, you know, she goes without sleep anyway a lot,
right,
so she was able to handle it. So, I get a nap yesterday morning. Frieda says, you want to do something? Just me and you. Because now my kid's gone, my mother-in-law is going to be in her room. I say, yeah, what do you want to do? She wants to go to the movies. Fantastic. Huh? What do you want to see? Sin City.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, normally, and I don't think it was the lack of sleep, because I was in a fine mood when we went to the theater. I know that this makes me the most unhip guy in the world, and I already know that I was very close to, I was bubbling under, almost number one already.
Mm-hmm.
I hated Sin City.
Really?
But it was boring.
Mm.
The movie, it was one of those, I checked my watch 10 minutes in.
Ah, really? No fun?
And I mean, I know it's hip to say the guy made it on his computer and
right.
he did it without the actors being in the room together.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not particularly getting a reputation as a hip movie.
Oh, no, I think it is.
Is it really?
I think a lot of people really...
That's a movie.
Really, but a lot of people dig the movie. A lot of people say the movie's just like the books, and I'm sitting there looking at my watch, and this was the dilemma that I've got.
You didn't like Mickey Rourke?
Mickey Rourke was pretty good at it,
mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is just so friggin' long and drawn out, and it's in black and white.
Was it sexy at all?
Parts are in, well, you see some topless, but it's not really
sexy. You like
sexy.
The topless?
Do you like them?
Did you enjoy the topless?
You like the oopsie topless?
See, I was kind of intrigued by it because it did look that way. It looked kind of sexy, like a sexy movie.
Jessica Alba, right?
I'd like to see that.
Listen, I'm sure I'm going to get killed by this. Everybody will call and tell me I'm an idiot. I'm checking my watch.
Mm.
And normally this is the type of the movie that I would love.
Right, right.
Because really it's got no plot per se to follow. I mean, it's like Sin City. It's bad stuff happening to people.
I would think you'd love that movie. It's your kind of action adventure,
The violence is over the top violence.
Oh, really?
Like when Benicio del Toro gets the thing in his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
I won't tell you what instrument it is put in his forehead, but he spends the entire rest of the movie with this thing sticking out of his forehead.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah. See, you would think I'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there the whole time checking my watch, and like I'm just thinking, this would be one time.
The colors weren't fun?
If she said to me, Mike, a lot of it was black and white, and then it would be like...
Kind of comic book-like, right?
Yeah.
Very dark.
Yeah, he would do this thing where the blood coming out would be white. Everything else would be shaded in black, but
the blood
would be white.
Oh, dear.
If that's the case, if it was number three, then it was coming out of a weird faucet.
Wow.
I mean, it wasn't coming out of the normal tap.
It's got a strange rating.
So I'm sitting there waiting. I'm waiting for Frieda to poke me and say, you know, God, those stinks. Are you ready to go?
Right.
But are you ready for this? The role reversal. She loves
it. She loved the movie?
Ah, interesting.
She loves it. We're sitting there, and she's doing everything they want. I mean, every time somebody does something on the screen, Frieda goes, oh, and she's covering her face.
She loved it.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, started to piss me off.
Yeah.
That I'm sitting in the theater.
Well, it's terrible if you're there watching a movie with somebody and they love it and you hate it.
And I'm trying to lowball the fact, and I'm not doing a good job, as she pointed out to me later, I'm not doing a good job of hiding the fact that I've gone to the bathroom twice and I've checked my watch, and really, I can't believe this movie's 2 freaking hours long. And she likes, so we get done with the movie and we're walking out and we're talking about everything except the movie. We're talking about dinner and, you know, normally you talk about the movie. So I brought it up. I said,
Well, I guess you know that I didn't, I said, maybe, I think I said, I don't know if you knew this, and I didn't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, come on, pal. Listen, you're drumming your fingers, you're checking your watch.
You sigh a lot in a movie.
I was trying to lowball it.
Right.
So what I said to her was, is a bad way to start a conversation with a wild card. How long have you been married, 5 minutes or 23 years like me? I said, well, I know you liked it. I thought it sucked. But why don't you tell me why you liked it? I'm curious to know why you liked it.
Uh-huh.
And then we got right back to the discussion about how I take the joy out of everything.
Oh, no.
We got back to that. She said, you know, for 2 hours, and she hated that I pulled the car off on the side of the road to have the discussion.
Oh, my.
Because that's the way I am. It's like we're talking about something, and it gets really heavy.
Let me make a point here.
I got to stop. She hates that. So I pulled the car off. We're like 2 blocks from home. She goes, what are you doing? Stop it. I said,
That's also the mother-in-law factor, right. Though, so you know now you can't continue.
Mike, thank you. Thank you, best buddy. That's
sure.
Exactly, I said to her, I'm stopping the car because I don't want to have the discussion with your mom.
Exactly.
Right. But now here's the weird part of it. That's interesting, too, about being me. I don't want to have it in front of her, but I'll have it on the radio in front of everybody that's listening.
But I understand you don't want to sit there, especially if it escalates.
I said, I just want to figure this out before we get home.
Right.
And she said, for 2 hours, she said it was a wonderful diversion. Mm-hmm. She really enjoyed the movie, and that what I did was by attempting to discuss it with her, all I did, as usual, because this is just the way I am, I screwed it up for her. I actually said to her, we sat on the side of the road, I said, you mean we went to a movie, and now I've ruined it for you? And she said, no, you've not ruined it for me. You've just taken the joy out of enjoying the movie. You've taken that away from me. And now we're sitting on the side of the road, and we're having a big discussion about this.
Right.
And she started screaming. She said, yeah, I was feeling really good in the movie, and now I don't know what we're doing. And I said, I'm my acupuncture, meanwhile, it's gone.
Needles flying around the car.
It's gone.
Shooting out of your arms.
Anything that was done to calm me was gone. Uh-huh. I was like Pinhead with the needles coming out of
me. I know we must have this discussion.
I said, really? I said, this is my, you've got to tell me what I'm doing wrong here. I said, we go to see the movie.
Well, you guys have argued about movies before.
I didn't like the movie, but before it was never a problem if we went to a movie and I would say that sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess, that ruins it for her.
Mm-hmm.
They take the joy away from her. So, here I am. And then she said something like, well, everybody likes it. I said, well, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, well,
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
What?
I knew you should have gone to see Fever Pitch.
That was the other option she gave. You know, I said, I don't want to see that.
Almost went to see it.
But not a chance.
The Fallon factor is keeping me away.
Not
the
a chance.
The Fallon Barrymore factor.
I'm sad to say I probably would have liked it better than Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
I know all you gothers out there love it. My kid loves it. She was on the phone yapping with him last night.
It's my number one. I want to see it. That's the one I want to see.
That's what Bart and I have in common. We talk about movies. Yeah. Oh, did you see this? Meanwhile, I'm absolutely going, this is a movie I should love. Bruce Willis, I like.
Right.
Mickey Rourke,
right.
I like. Jessica Alba,
did
I like.
Did it have a good story?
I don't want to ruin it, Mike.
Don't ruin it.
It had
a story, right? It had something to it.
It had a... those old spy novels, those, you know,
detective
like
novel
pulp, pulp fiction type.
Right,
you know.
Right.
She was abroad, but not just abroad. She was the type of broad that I knew I could spend the rest of my life with.
So, I mean, what I've heard about it, it's like nothing that's ever been made before. Jessica Alba's strip scene, is that any good? The strip tease?
No.
No?
And... yeah, it's like everything you've ever seen before.
Right.
There's nothing... breakthrough in this movie. And Frida kept saying this to me. She said, well, I just kept thinking about how he made it on his computer. And I thought, you know, BFD, the one guy, because apparently it's just one guy that did everything.
So many movies are made like that anyway.
Right. Yeah, but this guy did it.
Computer generated.
But this guy did the whole thing, I guess, in his basement or something.
Not the whole thing. I mean, obviously, there were actors playing roles.
There were, but in many cases.
It's all done, like, in front of blue screen and stuff like that.
Yes, and I know this from the lecture last night that my wife delivered. In many cases, the actors performed by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
He would just have them in a room with a blue screen.
Right.
And they wouldn't even interact with someone else. And so for that reason, I was supposed to think the movie was great, too.
Mm-hmm.
You should have gone and seen, there's a movie out now that's really breakthrough. It's like nothing that's ever, it's called Amityville Horror.
That's supposed to stink too.
That was the number one movie.
Even without Brolin. Even without Brolin, it was number one.
I can't imagine.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don. I got to back you up on Sin City. About a half hour in, I went with my son, and I think I snored. He had to nudge me because it was that much of a
dark. Get ready to be ridiculed, because I'm telling you, they're going to come out of the woodwork after me today on this. I don't give a frig.
I'm not
that stupid. I walked out of Meet the Fockers, too. I would have walked. You understand what I'm saying? A bad movie to me is a bad movie.
Right.
Even if it's an idiotic movie that I should love, like Meet the Fockers.
Well, see, that's the only thing that I would think that would attract me is the Alba factor. That's what I'd like to see.
You don't see enough.
Is she a blonde in this movie?
Sometimes when it's not in black and white.
Okay.
So is it all cartoon? Is there some live acting? What is it?
It's all live action. It looks like a cartoon.
It's off triple X-rated
action. Wow.
It's steaming X-rated action.
That's all.
Very exciting.
So what's the problem?
I spent too much time on that.
What's the problem then?
I don't even have time to tell you about, after everything that had happened all weekend, boy, was I glad last night to get the call from Frank Murphy.
Ah, you finally got Frank's call. Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, he and I had been trading emails and phone messages. Frank, as you know or maybe don't, Frank was our producer almost 20 years ago.
20 years ago, and hope you passed along that I'd love to hear from him, too.
You are such a liar. However, I'll tell you what. Did I tell you about his bingo thing?
No. Oh, that he was going to host, wasn't he going to MC a bingo tournament?
All right.
Uh-huh.
He's working now.
I really like Frank, our former producer.
Did he call you or did you call him?
He called me.
You accept the charges?
I think...
It sounded like I said that, didn't it, Rob? I love it when it works like that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Bada bing.
Hello. Okay, I'm ready to get killed. Here's someone, Joe says, someone who wants to kill me about Sin City.
Well, we'll see.
Go. Hey, I'm ready to be killed. Go ahead.
Sir, are you on the air? Yes, it's you.
Hey, Don.
God. Okay, let's go.
Here's the fan.
Yeah, you want to talk about Sin City,
go
sir?
Ahead.
Donnie.
What?
I just want to say I agree with you about Sin City. I, too, am an old gay man.
Okay, see, there's the... I knew it would be there. Hold on, where's the...
Homo.
There you go.
All right, now, that comment now... intrigues me even more, because is this movie
homo.
Would the movie be described as sexually charged?
No, I mean, you see a couple of topless chicks, you see a naked hooker, but you only see topless stuff. You don't see them actually having sex. Mm-hmm. You don't see real Jessica Alba like.
But
posing.
Like, are they when they're fighting and when they're bad girls? Aren't they in like sexy outfits and stuff?
Yeah, there's a there are a
like
bunch.
Like kind of. What am I trying to... Some of those Japanese animated...
No.
Where the girls are all kind of like Vargas girls?
No, all of the fighting girls wear S&M type outfits.
Yeah. Wow.
Right. Well, you know, again...
I'm going tonight.
You know, I apparently am now really...
Homo!
You know, but I'm just telling you, I thought the movie was boring.
Was your biggest disappointment in Sin City that it didn't have Michael J. Fox and Barry Bostwick?
Let's Spin the City.
How's that?
Spin City. You with your jokes. Get out of here. Okay, we got a break.
And after you see Sin City, go buy some furniture at Value City.
I'll get killed on this later.
How's
in the show. How's your furniture? Let's see if our guest is here yet.
Hello?
Hello?
Is she here yet?
Yes, she is.
Oh, good.
I can't hear you.
Well, maybe that's what the problem the guy on the phone was having.
Hello? Beth Ann, can you hear me?
I can hear you a little better, Mike.
But just a little better?
How about Buzz? Buzz, are you...
Hi, Frida. How are you?
Okay, you're coming in. Just not as loud as usual.
Huh.
Hello, come in.
Oh, everyone said that today.
So, how'd you like Sin City?
I liked it. I thought it was interesting.
I know, you really liked it.
I've never said I really liked it. I never said it was I loved it. I said I enjoyed it. It was interesting. It was certainly different, and it was creative. So.
Fall down funny?
It wasn't when you slapped me funny.
Did you think when the guy got the arrow through him that was a funny part?
Bart and I enjoyed that little line, yes.
All right, again, I guess I am in the
homo
minority. All right, baby.
I thought that was a little bit of black humor that was injected, you know, to lighten up.
No, Rob, dark humor.
Oh, never mind.
Black humor.
Dark, don't worry, Rob.
Where's our tape?
Come on now.
I mean, if we're talking about black humor.
This is Robert, the angry mailman for the Don's and Mike show.
All right, baby, I got to fly. I love you.
I
love you. I'll see you later.
All right. Love you, too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, she sounds fine.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. How's your
style? She screamed at me for about 30 minutes yesterday on the side of the road. Why wouldn't she feel great? Sarah Vowell is coming up.
I'm looking forward to this.
Sarah Vowell, and she'll be in here right after
this. This is the Don and Mike Show.
My leg!
Come on, Bev Ann. Wheeler in, please.
Working amongst the grove, the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Dude Walker. Website, www.donandmikewebsite.com. So we get done with that last bit of inspired radio. I'm going to take a leak, and I go up past Colette at the front desk.
Yes.
And sitting right out there is Sarah Vowell.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself to be kind of a fan of Sarah Vowell.
In the lobby?
Yes. And
that's not the normal place for guests to.
No, we have a green room.
I don't notice. I don't notice because I'm running out to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming back in. I said, oh, this is her. So I lean over and I go, hi, I'm Don, one of the DJs. I didn't know you were here.
Right.
She said, she looked up. She's a little pissed. She said, well, I heard you guys where she did the Dr. Evil quote thing, running late. You know, when you make the quote marks with your fingers. I said, well, I didn't know you're here. They normally bring people by back to the, you know, the dirty green room.
I mean, as bad a radio station as this is, we have a room where people wait.
Right.
You know, so a nice room that's like four guests. It's got a...
We didn't know you were out there.
And stuff. So how long were you waiting?
45 minutes.
Oh, cool. And you were punctual and you were told to be here at a certain
time. I thought, well, maybe they chose a new pope or something. But it turns out... Your one guy's kid went to Philadelphia.
That's me.
And for a concert. And then the same guy, I believe, also did not enjoy Sin City.
Right.
That's right.
So I was reading myself, imagining scenarios where, like, you know, Desmond Tutu was here. And they would be like, I'm sorry, Bishop Tutu. We ordered lunch and the delivery guy forgot the guacamole. Could you just hang out another half an hour?
I think you've captured the essence of this show.
Yeah.
I think you understand it.
So you're a fan of the show.
I've got nothing but time.
Well, we do apologize. We didn't know. I could have saved all of that riveting material for after you're gone.
Well, maybe it was, I don't know, maybe it was time sensitive.
No, not really.
It was not.
I mean, there has been stuff that's been time sensitive, but that wasn't.
What's time sensitive on this show, for goodness sakes?
Oh, there occasionally are urgent venting that we have to do. You know, we have to lay it out there.
Now tell us, really, are you mad?
I'm getting over it.
Okay, so you're getting over it.
I'm like a good enough salesman that I'll just, like, you won't even know whether I'm not, you know.
That's right, and you're
fake it.
You're selling your book.
That's right.
And you're selling yourself.
That's right.
But
I just want you to buy my Fuller brushes or whatever it is.
Sarah's book is called Assassination Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, how many radio shows, you work on NPR, I've heard you on NPR, correct?
Mm-hmm, technically Public Radio International, but that's a whole other, like, minor civil war.
How many DJ shows are you going on to promote your book?
Quite a few.
Is this a whirlwind book tour? Like, are you...
Like a city a day.
Really? So it's one of the busy ones where you're going to go, how many days?
Like 5 or 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
We're like halfway done.
You hate disc jockeys? It's okay.
No, I used to be a disc jockey.
But you know what I mean, though. Like guys like us, though.
No, I actually like guys like you.
No, come on, be honest.
No, that's true.
You see a schmuck like me coming towards you and you're thinking, what is this loser doing? And I go, hey, I'm one of the DJs, and I'm sure I walk away and you have to go, of course, that's the ass.
Usually, it seems like maybe you know who I am, but usually I go on these kind of shows and the guys don't know who I am or what I do, and I sound super boring. You know, like, oh, she's written a book about a presidential assassination. stations, and she works for public radio. And then I come in, I'm a fairly, like, nice girl, and I can, like, win them over.
Right.
But sometimes...
It doesn't go that way?
No.
Sometimes it goes south?
Sometimes the ones I dread are the, like, one-hour public radio ones.
Oh.
Even though those are my people sometimes.
Those are your homies?
A little too much detail, you know.
Are you tired of being asked about The Incredibles?
No, no.
Because I love that movie.
Know?
I hated Sin City. I love The Incredibles. That's the truth.
Well, I've got a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I really judge films that I go see with my kids on whether I stay conscious during the during the movie, and that's the all-time winner. I mean, I had as much fun as my kids did in that movie.
Well,
and
there's some very adult themes in that movie.
Oh,
the
terrific.
Whole, like, midlife crisis part of it. Mm-hmm.
So how'd you get that gig? You're the daughter in that movie.
The director, her, was thinking about casting, and he heard one of my documentaries on public radio.
Yeah. Now, what would that documentary have been? I'm curious about it, because I'm curious about the casting process when you're casting an animated film.
It was a documentary about my father was a gunsmith, and he's kind of retired from that, but he made his own cannon from scratch, and I'm not the biggest gun lover in the world and always hated guns, and I had a father who was a gunsmith, but he made the cannon.
Well, you'll have to leave right now then. I'm sorry. We are pro-gun on this show.
Yeah, right.
He made his own cannon, and I was kind of intrigued by that, so I made a documentary where we went up into the mountains and shot off his cannon. It's, like, really cool. And
so your documentary was a comedy-based document, kind of quirky, and, you know, it was actually...
there are jokes in it, yeah.
Right, right.
Humor.
Because that was when you said you were narrating, you know, I think of you narrating a documentary, and I immediately think of a serious subject matter where you're doing serious documentary,
well,
and I don't put that together.
In Sad, where I talk about how my father, what he wants done with his ashes, and I think you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Shot out of a cannon.
Of course. There you go.
You know, when they drew The Incredibles, I thought that the mom kind of looked like Holly Hunter.
Uh-huh.
The Mr. Incredible kind of looked like Craig T. Nelson in a weird way. You got used to the voice.
Right.
You look like a Viola, and I don't mean that. That's a compliment.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she looked like that before I was on board. I think we're just the same type of gloomy girl, you know?
Is this the first type of animation like that you've done? I mean, I would think you've done a lot of it.
Oh, no, huh?
You haven't done animation before that?
I was never even in a school play or anything.
Really?
Wow.
Mm-mm.
You know who I think, when I hear your voice, I think about Yardley Smith, who used to be on this show a couple of times, because in the voice, it seems to me when they were casting The Incredibles that just he was all about vocal quality in that. And that's, I think, what makes some of these movies fly, as opposed to just always going for the big name, which they do too much now, I think.
No, they do. Actually, at Pixar, everyone who gets cast, when they're thinking about it, they will... they'll take voice tracks, usually off movies or TV, and do test animations to an actor's voice to see.
They'll because, take it that far.
Yeah, because some actors, even though they're great actors, they don't carry over voice-wise,
right.
Or they're all about the eye movement or something, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm trying to think now who would be a crappy, animated actor.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that, too.
How about David Spade?
David Spade's probably David Spade was in a movie called The Emperor's New Groove, which is probably right up there with animated classics, and he wasn't bad in it.
He has a distinctive voice.
I've got him on the brain because I've been watching Dickie Roberts recently. You ever see that movie he made?
Uh-huh.
That's bad. If you're stuck in a hotel sometime, you got HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Dickie Roberts, child star. It's awful.
I have learned something on this book tour. Kevin Spacey, not always in good movies.
What's the bad movie with Kevin Spacey?
I don't know. That was something he had.
Oh, the Bobby Darin movie?
He had weird hair. I haven't seen that one yet.
Not that one?
That's one of the choices on the pay-per-view, though.
Mm, is that the one? Maybe you saw the one where he's an old guy living with his mom, like on the Massachusetts shore?
That's not a bad movie.
I think it is.
That's the one where he's like the fisherman or something like that?
Yeah, that movie sucks.
I like that.
I know what you're talking about. That was Newfoundland.
Yeah.
However you say that.
Right. Newfoundland.
I like anything with the sea. I truly do.
Are you fascinated with the death?
With the death?
With the death?
Yeah.
You wrote a book about
the assassination?
Visiting assassination sites.
I know you don't
like
them.
I don't like them, but I'm interested in them, yeah.
What's your favorite assassin?
Would it be morbid curiosity? Is it like going to see the
No, I get that question a lot. Isn't this morbid? I'm like, yeah.
Aren't we all, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think people deal with death in different ways. Mm-hmm. I you know, like to look it up and research it, and other people get Botox.
Off the top of my head, I would guess the favorite one would probably be Lincoln. Yes, no?
Well, actually, in terms of working on the book, my favorite chapter to work on was the Garfield one, because I didn't know very much about Garfield.
Most people don't, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not you guys, I'm sure you're totally, like, up on...
I know Garfield, that's a great comic. I still like those sticker things
that
people have in their windows, and I like the baby on board as well.
Shot on steps. Am I right about that?
Was he shot
on the steps?
I think you're thinking of The Godfather.
No. No, I'm really thinking...
He was at the train station, but he was inside.
Damn it. All right, I'm wrong.
You know, the site of that train station was demolished, and now it's the site of the National Gallery of Art.
Do they have anything commemorating or memorializing?
Not a thing. Mm. And I think that's a shame. I think there should be a plaque.
Anyone ever assassinated by a cannon?
By a cannon. No, that's one reason I like cannons, is they're a little, like, unwieldy.
Not handy.
You can't rob a convenience store with one of those.
This is a weird question, but I feel weird even asking it. What is the most popular assassination location in the United States?
That's a good question, because they've turned into tourist traps.
Well, that's probably Ford Theater in Washington.
Bigger than the Texas Book Depository?
Oh, well, that... unfortunately, is in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So, D.C., a lot of people go to D.C. for other reasons.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Dallas, I'm hard-pressed.
Dallas, you would think, I mean, if you...
People go to that. They have a museum. It's the Sixth Floor Museum.
Right.
But I think Ford Theater is probably the most popular, because you have, like, you just have, like, an unending circle of Boy Scouts, for one thing, you know, just cycling in there.
Right, so that'd probably be number one, the Lincoln site.
Yeah.
And what about tell me about the marketing when you go to these places. What kind of crap do people sell at assassination sites? And how much of a, what do they call that? It's a cottage industry,
sure.
How much dough do you think is...
Oh, there were some interesting souvenirs. Probably my favorite one was at the McKinley Memorial in Canton.
He was shot on the steps, wasn't he?
It was a receiving line. It was by inside. It was inside. Everyone was on.
I'm 0 for 2,
everyone
Buzz.
Was on a flat surface.
Nobody was shot on the steps?
No.
Damn it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm going to think back to Julius Caesar.
Okay.
But at the McKinley Memorial was I don't know who you're thinking of. At the McKinley Memorial, they had a souvenir McKinley Memorial yo-yo, where it's like the only yo-yo I've ever seen that has a picture of a mausoleum on it. And I think they were probably thinking, well, kids are coming, because it's part of a natural history museum, too. Like, we should have something for the kids.
Yeah.
And so they just put their logo on it, but it's like the mausoleum on the yo-yo.
And how much was that item? Do you remember?
It was reasonable, I think. I don't remember exactly how much.
But all the presidential assassinations have taken place on flat surfaces.
Yeah.
Because they just want to close this. So I'm wrong. All right, now I know that. All right, very good.
Well, on flat surfaces, by who? By the assassinator or the assassinatee?
Any assassination, all assassinations have taken place.
Everyone, say you were like, okay, let's imagine a piece of graph paper.
Okay.
And there's like the y-axis. Everybody is standing on the y-axis. Okay. Or maybe that's the x-axis. Everyone's standing on the x-axis. Yeah. Okay.
Now I know.
How much you pay for a squeaky from kazoo? How much did you pay for that?
I'm curious, I mean, did you go beyond just the real assassinations or where there were shootings or all that?
There are so many. You mean the attempted ones?
Yeah, the attempted assassinations.
Yeah, I didn't do the attempted ones.
Ah, okay.
I just cut it off.
See, you're smart there. You got another book coming out. That's there you go.
No, I'm interested in people who get things done. You know? That sounded wrong.
Achievers.
Wasn't the balcony on an incline? Wouldn't the balcony?
Yes.
Wait a minute, I've been to Ford's Theater. There's steps going down to that.
Aha, Mike, I'm just backing up your theory.
That's right.
Not everything was...
Okay.
Not
I mean, Lincoln was
flat surface.
Lincoln was seated.
Lincoln is seated.
Right.
Booth, to get up to the presidential balcony, Booth did have to climb some steps.
Climb.
You're right. But when he shot Lincoln in the back of the head, he was just standing behind him.
He was standing behind
him. Same
level. Same level?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
You positive?
Is this show, like, abnormally obsessed with an inclined plane?
Yes. Yes, we are.
And a lot more than that, you'd be amazed.
Yes, we are.
Oh, my God.
Would you mind taking some phone calls?
I guess not. Let's see.
Okay, well, like some of the people who have, I think are familiar with you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi. Fine, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
You're on with Sarah. Do you have a question for Sarah?
Yes, I do. I actually heard her some months ago on PRI, and when I first heard her, I thought I was listening to a very intelligent 12-year-old from her voice.
Yeah, I'm
sure that's very flattering.
But she's quite fascinating. Her stories are always funny. She's a delight to listen to.
Good save.
Okay, Daryl.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye.
Well, I'm sure you get that a lot. I mean, and that's why obviously you were cast in a movie for where you're playing it.
Yeah, that's really great. When one of the things you're most insecure about yourself your whole life is that you have a weird voice that sounds like a second grader and like you sound like a cartoon character, and then the animators call up and say, "We think you're a cartoon character."
When did you come to accept the sound of your voice?
When I got my first paycheck for it.
Good for you.
Yes. Are you currently? Are you joined with somebody?
Am I joined?
Are you joined?
Somebody?
Are you
like
joined?
Management?
No, in a relationship.
I am unmarried.
You
That's
are unmarried.
Your
unmarried.
All right. Baby.
I think Ford is spinster at this point.
No.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
35.
You're 35? No, you're not in the spinster
state. No, you're not allowed. You've never been married?
No.
Oh, yeah. Somebody has to have asked you, right?
Well, we don't really have time to get into that.
Well,
we're always curious about people's personal lives.
Sarah, it's a compliment.
Well, I was standing on a staircase.
Are you sure? I believe when you are finally proposed to, you are going to be proposed to. It'll be on the stairs.
Or shot, either one of those.
Okay, hold on. Here's another. It's Dan from Tampa. Dan, Don and Mike Show. Dan.
Yeah, Don and Mike, and outstanding flick on The Incredibles. Is there going to be a sequel? And otherwise, McKinley was shot at the New York World's Fair.
First of all, no, that would be the Pan American Exposition, but it was in Buffalo, New York, so not far.
See, I mean, you've got the expert. Come on, research, dude.
And
well, it was in Ohio.
He was from Ohio and is buried in Ohio.
Okay, so, all right, that explains
why. Now, hold on a second. You can't just say, okay, read the book.
You should know the rule on the show, Sarah.
What's that?
That if someone's an idiot on the phone, tell them, you're an idiot.
Absolutely.
You're an ass.
I mean,
that's not how we do it in public radio.
Like to say the hosts are an idiot?
Well, no, there has to be accountability, sir. You have called
you're
and wrong.
Been wrong
on about three different things.
No. Just move on to other question.
Oh, please let us fight with him just a little
you
bit.
You said the movie was good, which was fine, but then
was true.
But then you corrected Sarah about a fact, and you're incorrect about that, and then you just slough it off like all you idiots do with just that. Oh yeah, that sure is a good movie.
Well, not only that, I mean, she just wrote a book about the subject.
Well, kind of the Pan American Exposition was kind of a World's Fair, if you mean it in like a lowercase W, lowercase F sort of way.
Uh-huh.
So if it's in print, we're supposed to believe it.
What? Anywho.
Wow, you are an asshat. Very big.
No. Hey, the WMDs in Iraq were in print.
What good?
Mr. Conspiracy. Now I think we've moved into another realm.
You see what you've done, Sarah?
I think we've got one here.
All we had to do was bring those three dirty little we know about.
What's that noise? Do you know what that's a noise of? A recording of?
What, this?
Uh-huh.
That's from a game show.
Oh, okay.
That's when someone is disconnected.
Like, okay.
Or wrong. That. And if they're right, you get one of those.
Oh, nice.
You got to meet them. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
And you get that when someone's on the air.
Ooh.
But that really pisses people off because a lot of people listen to us in the office and think they've got mail.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You're on with Sarah. Go ahead.
Sarah.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you would consider doing a Simpsons episode, something like Lisa. Maybe like a distant cousin or something like that.
Are you calling from Matt Groening's office or anything?
Can we just apologize for these calls?
That's right now, call, though.
Tell you what, I'll do it for you.
Like, sorry, man. You know, you sound like a kid. I was wondering if you could be on The Simpsons. I would like that. But, I mean, I take it that I get the impression if the money's green at this stage in time, right? What the hell?
Well, actually, have a job and that I like, I actually like just sitting in my apartment writing stuff.
Okay.
So, and the acting thing, if I never did it again, I would be fine with that.
Okay, very good.
I think you'd be good at it.
I just like to do things I care about with people I respect. Unprofessional.
Sure you do.
That's why she's here now.
Right. Yeah, well, right. Absolutely.
Because you respect yourself.
Yeah.
That's why you're in this crappy room right now. You got no respect for yourself. You're sitting here with us. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on? I didn't know
this is like Harry Carey for your career. Hello.
Hey, I didn't know the old lady from The Exorcist wrote books and went on radio talk shows.
No, not even close. Oh, that's not even close.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Gentlemen.
Hello.
You know what he's talking about, right? You know, and it wasn't The Exorcist. It was Poltergeist.
Kill and stay away from the light. There's evil in this house.
See, we have to interpret even the people they're calling to give you a hard time.
Man,
we have to.
That's what he was talking about. Yeah, are you familiar with Poltergeist?
No, I never saw that.
Oh, okay. Go see. I mean, it sounds nothing like you. And don't go.
Hello.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hi, guys.
I think it's this microphone feeding the telephone again. If you would tell one of our
Ricardo Limon, Tony D,
one of our engineers.
You're on with Sarah. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I have a question for Sarah.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering if she has if she's familiar with the National Museum of Health and Medicine.
Oh my God, am I?
I was just wondering if you've seen the Garfield artifacts there, and we have Guto's trigger figure.
Did you say we? Are you calling from there?
Yeah, I work there, and I was just wondering if you've been there.
You have Garfield's spine. You have Garfield's spine, but it's not on display, correct?
Right, and yeah. We also
because that would be, I guess, tacky. Is
wow.
Why?
It would be what?
It would
that
be tacky.
Tacky.
Tacky to have it on display?
A little bit.
Why do you have Garfield's spine?
You do have, although, let me ask this. You do have, and I do write about it in my book, you have Lincoln's skull fragments on display.
We have that on display, and we also have the bullet that killed him, actually.
Right. Yes. Hold on.
And the Surgeon General's probe. Right?
And we actually have the finger bone of Guto, the guy who shot him.
Also not on display, correct?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
So how do you make these arbitrary...
It's the Smithsonian. They just have so many treasures locked up that the public never gets to see.
I mean, that is interesting.
But that actually, Garfield's spine, that's a very, sad story. The trial of the Garfield assassin was a big circus because the assassin was just such a jackass, but a really entertaining one, and he was always like... The audience just thought he was hilarious because he was so self-absorbed. But their one quiet, dignified moment was when they passed Garfield's spine around to show people. I don't even remember why, but the actual spine of the president.
Wow.
What was the reason for that?
And now you write books, and books have book spines. Sorry, I stopped things.
Right. Oh, yeah, and I was so curious. You know me, Mr. Maury Curiosity. What was the spine part of the evidence? I mean, did you get that deep into it?
I believe it was removed during the autopsy, and I think it was maybe part just to talk about the bullet and
where it came in. It's okay.
And,
Didn't the spine attack the jury? At some point. Hi.
But I do write about your museum, and I enjoyed visiting there, and I get a whole like section out of imagining like the Lincoln skull fragment display and imagining all the people who put it there, from John Wilkes Booth on down to the intern who probably typed the label,
Yeah.
And imagine this whole process of getting this thing on display. And
You're great.
That is interesting.
You're great. I mean
Thank
that.
You.
You're really great.
Thanks, you guys.
Is the whole Lincoln thing as... I've heard that the Texas Book Depository is a little morbid. It's very... For the morbidly curious, that's mm-hmm. that there's a lot of stuff.
Are there any of these sites that are a pick-me-up?
let me see.
When you go on, is there anything where you say the weather's nice here? Right. It's got a nice...
Well, actually, one of my favorite places to go was Dry Tortugas National Park. I went there. It's like this desert island off the coast of Florida. I went there because there's this... It's this huge medieval-looking prison fort where Dr. Mudd and some of the other Lincoln conspirators were held captive after the assassination. But you can also snorkel there.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Now, see, okay. You just got one alone.
Thank
good,
you.
Good answer.
You want to take another call?
Okay.
What the hell? Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. My name is Jeff from Rochester, and I got to say I'm a huge fan of Don and Mike. Love your show, and I love Sarah's show, This American Life. That is the show I'm familiar with her on. But Don and Mike and NPR.
Which one do you like better, would you say?
Pardon?
Which one do you think you like better?
She's putting you on the spot.
Well, my whole thing is just a cognitive dissonance. Don and Mike and National Public Radio. I mean, what's wrong? It just doesn't seem to match up here.
Yeah, wouldn't it be safe to say in our 20 years of broadcasting, when we go to a cocktail party, if somebody's going to say, I don't listen to you, it is invariably followed up by, I listen to NPR.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard it. We've heard it our whole careers.
Why are those people so...
But anyway, well, you had a question, Mike?
I hung up on him.
Oh.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Here's a new caller for you.
Okay.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Yeah, is that me?
Yeah, yes. Go ahead.
Dance.
Oh, I've got a question for you. If she were to get married...
She's right here. You can speak directly to her.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
And is this some dumb joke about her name would be...
No.
Okay.
Okay.
When, I thought you were going to talk about my love of literature.
Not on this show. Yes, I'm sorry?
Okay. When you get married, are you going to have a Catholic ceremony? Or a Catholic
I do not want to get married, and B, I do not, I don't, I'm an atheist, so I'm just...
Thank God you're an atheist.
I'm the non-marrying kind of non-believer. I'm all nothing.
Another atheist in our studio, thank God.
Thank God. Thank God. Okay, one more, we'll try one more, then we'll let her out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Doing?
What?
Hey, just checking in. Hello?
We were worried about you, dude.
Yeah, go ahead. What's your point?
What do you think, you're at a bar? Okay. Gonna buy her a drink? What do you want?
Two very quick questions. One, did you know that you're only 4 days away from the Asparagus Festival in Stockton?
All right. And Sacramento,
two,
Stockton,
do you fold or crinkle?
Oh, no.
Listen,
no.
We're sorry about our callers.
We do the best we can.
You, believe it or not, you go to Amazon.com. You're going to sell some copies of your book today, because not all the people that call the show...
Mm-hmm. Some can read.
...represent the people who listen to the show.
Is there any particular one factoid in that book that would stand out among all others? Something that people would be just blown away by?
I guess one of the ones I like thinking about most is Abraham Lincoln's son, Robert Todd Lincoln. Mm-hmm. I call him Jinxie McDeath. Because he was there at his father's deathbed. He was in the train station with Garfield when Garfield was shot, and he was getting off the train in Buffalo right when McKinley was getting shot.
Wow. What do they call him?
I called him Jinxie McDeath.
Jinxie McDeath.
Gum rabbit's foot.
It's when the same. We have a man, Michael Hughes, that works here, and we also call him that. Yeah.
Jinxie McDeath.
Absolutely.
Sarah?
Yeah?
How would you rate this experience?
How would I rate it?
Yes.
Well, I'm more...
Scale of 1 to 10 is what we normally use.
I actually kind of enjoyed it. I would say 7.
7?
7.
I'm going to give that a round of applause.
Admirable.
Are you happy with that?
I will see that and raise it. I would say you're an 8.5.
You're an 8.
Really?
Yes, you're an outstanding guest.
And even though you might not want to do it again, you've had your experience. I hope you do... a lot more stuff, you know, that everybody can see, like The Incredibles. I hope you do some more of that.
Sarah, not any of these, like, obscure little books that just, like, go into a library somewhere.
I think the books are wonderful, but I think people, you know, in this day and age...
Libraries should all be torn down for blockbusters. Sarah's book is Assassination, Assassination Vacation. Oh, and you have a book signing tonight here in D.C., 7 o'clock, at Politics and Prose on Connecticut Avenue. We'll have information on our website about this.
Where are you in your book tour? How far along are you in
about halfway through.
Halfway through. Oh, boy. At least we can catch her at the end of it.
The Dark Night of the Soul.
Well, listen, we're big fans, and you can come back anytime.
Thank you, guys.
Would you like an autographed photo of us?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we'll get it right out to you. Thank you.
That's always how we end the interview.
Yes, we do.
Would it be decoupaged?
Yeah, we can do that for you.
Could
be.
If you like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a picture of Buzz and I in Iceland at the Blue Lagoon.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk over and look at that when I can take these headphones off.
Oh, whoa.
I'm very interested in geothermal activity.
Yay, there you go.
You
love this.
Oh, Rob, you got that picture? Because we're going to get the picture. Then you leave. See, part of the charm of this doing this show like this is that you leave. And then like, talk about you on the air while you leave.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on Letterman, they give you a hat.
How was it as cold in the studio as they say?
You want a hat?
It's pretty cold.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. You know what? Get her a shirt as well. Get her a Ron Mexico shirt.
Okay.
Are you aware that Michael Vick, you know who he is? The
no.
quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons?
Mm-mm.
You ever heard of him?
No.
He has herpes. Now, this is, you know, knowledge.
Okay.
Did you know that this famous football player, Michael Vick, when he gets his herpes medicine, he uses a fake name? The fake name is Ron Mexico.
Really? Really?
Yes, and now we sell T-shirts that say Ron Mexico with the number 7 on them.
That is so classy.
Thank you.
We're horse.
Thank you very much.
And we're going to give you one of those shirts.
Thank you.
Very own.
Sarah. Is that with an H?
Uh-huh. Nice and biblical.
Sarah.
Oh, there it is.
Sarah. Smile.
Wow, you weren't kidding. Thank
Isn't
you.
That? That's Ron Mexico.
There you go. And there's.
I am so proud. We
Mike?
Should do this as a premium on our next public radio pledge drive.
Uh-huh. You would autograph that for Sarah. She's going to have a nice autographed picture of us, and she's got the Ron Mexico T-shirt.
And the good news is, Sarah, you've got the 1958 photograph, which is wonderful.
It's what we have. That's the one that's left.
Before we had color.
So thank you for coming by.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, you're a great guest.
They
I enjoy you.
No.
There's your T-shirt and your photograph.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks
Bell.
For coming on
Let's
the show.
Let's give her a nice round of applause.
Thanks.
Somebody
Thanks,
wheel her out of here now.
Very good.
There she goes.
All right.
Boy, look at she looks
Thank
fantastic.
You. Thank
Bye,
you,
honey.
Sarah. Bye, bye. No, she had a fine time. Absolutely a wonderful.
So?
I got like a bullet. There she goes.
There she goes. Mm. I don't know. Hard to read somebody like that. Mm-hmm. You know, broad that's got something going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the whole intellectual thing. We, you know, we swim in a new area.
What I mean?
It's a new area for us. And you read books,
sometimes.
I don't. You know, I might read that one.
Here she goes. You walking by right now? I think she's saying to Beth Ann, "They smelled."
I had
worst smelling disc jockeys I've met on this whole tour.
I had extra cologne on today, but remember, what we always say, if it smells like cologne, leave it alone.
I tried to thank her, but she was too busy muttering. So,
so there she is, there's Sarah Vowell.
But you know, this time our audience didn't let us down. You know, do you fold or crinkle?
Yeah.
Did you hear something?
I just was holding something in the whole time.
Oh,
that she
really?
Was here.
You just start pulling in, Mr. Incredible.
Time
We're
that
always,
she was here.
Always a little extra nervous when we get authors on.
Okay.
So we didn't pay attention in school.
That's Sarah Vowell. Yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
And your dark khaki shorts.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The show in the car.
Oh, yeah. She was cool.
Like, she's not putting her finger down her throat right now. It's like, I've got to disinfect myself.
I liked her understated comedy.
Yeah. Me too. She's a good guy.
Broadcasting with a belated sense of urgency, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Let me see her book again, Assassination Vacation. Get it at Amazon.com. She'll be at Politics and Prose tonight in D.C. on Connecticut Avenue at 7. Before we move on... An important word. Hi, an important word from Colette Harris, the receptionist at WJFK. Colette's asked for a few seconds on the show today.
Ah, very good.
Oh, good.
Go ahead. Hi, Colette.
Actually, it's Megan.
Oh. Hi, Megan. Is Colette there?
No, she ran away.
Well, then
Maybe Megan has something to say?
Rob, why did you
Megan, do you have something to say?
I have something that I can say.
All right. What would you like to say, Megan?
You're forgiven if you miss the enlightening 05 baseball preview in this month's Playboy. Huh. After all, it could easily be October by the time you stop staring at the real Desperate Housewives pictorial. Playboy, on newsstands now.
Megan, baby, that rocks. Megan.
Nice job.
Megan, I got to tell you that. You just stopped the show.
Now,
we enjoyed that.
Megan's a girl who works here at the station.
but really, that read was fabulous.
Thank you.
Better than the copy. And I want to say a special thanks to Colette.
Why did she back out at the last second?
Yeah, well done.
Rob. Take your anger at Colette away. And think about that read that Megan just
gave.
It was top drawer.
Your voice is so good. You could be in the Simpsons. Thank you, Megan. Thanks for helping
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's one of our
the way she did that little pictorial.
Uh-huh. It was very sexy.
Yeah. I'm going to try to find our director of first impressions.
Get over it.
Don't get down. Mad at Colette.
Jeez.
Colette does everything we ask her
we
to
do.
We
got something better there.
Everything except one.
On the joy.
What did she say? She was uncomfortable? I bet she
Comedically,
said...
Comedically, it wasn't what it... I guarantee you're absolutely right. But look what we got there for
and
just
I,
a second.
Yes, you're right.
I
something
know.
That we used to have on the show a lot of. Remember?
Yes.
Sex.
And it was wonderful. Just for a moment, Rob. Please. Please. Let her go. Let Colette go.
Was Colette's problem the copy?
I told her it was not very good copy, and I said that's what's funny, and it would be great if she could help us out.
Not bad, bet she'll have you. Are you going to give her a second chance?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, right.
I bet she didn't want to do an ad for a nudie magazine.
That's Andrew.
Who the hell is this? Oh, the asexual Andrew. Andrew, is Colette up there?
Is that, now that's Colette in the background.
No, that would be Miss Fulman, actually.
Oh, is that Julie Fulman?
Well, anyway, all the women think you're asexual. Is Colette here?
No.
Andrew, pass along to Miss Fulman that she is a symphony in pink today.
Okay, hold on.
She wore pink today.
Andrew, actually.
Andrew?
What's he doing?
This is Andrew.
Julie's funny because we all think about Andrew.
Homo.
Now listen.
Andrew.
Homo.
And he has a girlfriend.
Sure. Julie. Now wait. Now let me give you an example of young Andrew, what he just did.
Winner.
I said, please pass along to Ms. Fulman that she is a symphony in pink today. His trembling dove-like hand
Homo.
Immediately handed the phone to you. He couldn't do it himself.
I'm very disappointed.
I might retract my statement about his girlfriend.
Andrew was up there, and he said, "You should do it, Colette. At least they're not trying to throw televisions at you off the roof."
Wait, here's Andy.
Or put upon Andy.
Andrew's back on, Don.
Here's Andy McDowell.
Homo.
That might have to be his new name or his station. Andy McDowell.
Oh, you're killing me with that one. Andy, are you there?
I am here.
Andy McDowell.
Now, when I said pass along to Ms. Fulman, I meant for you to say it, Andrew.
Ah, sorry.
All right.
Can I tell you something? I was watching an Albert Brooks movie over the weekend, The Muse.
Right. The Muse.
The Muse. You are fantastic in that movie.
I love your southern accent.
And, of course, in Groundhog Day.
You know, you carry the movie Groundhog Day.
But I hate your commercials for the shampoos. Tell me something, Andy.
Yes?
How long have you been doing commercials for? Is it Clairol?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know.
You're not going to get now. You know, we're going down. Mr. Spigoli, we're on a slippery slope here.
I understand.
We're riffing with Andrew.
Andrew, are you aware that Julie Fulman, who was on the phone moments ago, thinks that you are less than an M-A-N?
No, I couldn't hear, actually. Ever.
Homo.
Well, actually, Julie was the first one to volunteer that he has a girlfriend. You have a girlfriend, Andrew?
I do have a girlfriend.
But by the end of the conversation, she said she might be ready to rescind that endorsement.
Homo.
That's because of the relentless playing of that sound effect.
Homo.
I don't hear any sound effect, Mike.
Homo.
I know what that is.
You know, sometimes God speaks to people in different ways.
Homo.
Sometimes it's almost like one of those high-pitched dog whistles. It's something somebody hears, somebody else doesn't hear.
Right.
Or as the great Scott Shannon once said, it's CB interference.
I can't hear a thing.
All right, Andrew.
Thanks for stopping by.
Anything you'd like to add, Andrew?
Not from last time, I don't think.
So now, as you reflect on your day of doing a woman's job, sitting at the front desk and sitting at the front desk and doing secretarial tasks and writing down messages for men.
That's right out of the 1950s primer.
From other men.
Fetching coffee. Yeah.
Tossing sexual favors where you have to climb up the corporate ladder.
Andrew Falker.
What were you doing tonight? Going home and getting some Clairol herbal essence and then maybe some of that, what's that green tea that women like so much that...
I know a lot of ladies enjoy sleepy time tea.
Yeah.
Now, see, this is where it's going too far, and he's going to show up tomorrow. And this is what the story's in. It was the last straw that Andrew couldn't take
any
longer.
Maybe get your TiVo of Desperate Housewives from last night.
I think I'll be okay.
Get some Ben and Jerry.
Homo.
Call a friend.
You know, we're just having fun, Andrew.
It's all good.
Oh, yes. It's all good, Andrew.
No worries.
I'm sort of used to it at this point, so I just kind of,
you're used to it, and that's good. That's a good way to be.
Anyway, but let's be honest, Andrew. We're not the first people who have talked to you like this. We're just the first people who have talked to you like this on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you enjoy working here, don't you, Andrew?
I like it, yeah.
It's a crazy, fun place, isn't it?
It is.
We all do.
Andrew, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you enjoy being on the radio? 1 being the least, 10 being the most?
I'd say 8, maybe.
Oh, really? Oh, so you do enjoy it.
I do enjoy being on the radio,
And exactly what do you do here at the station?
Sales assistant.
You're a sales assistant.
Homo.
So when Colette takes one of her... How many breaks does Colette take a day?
This is the first one today, actually.
Oh. The first one that you've been in there. Colette has a lot of substitutes up there, I notice.
Yeah?
You see Sarah Vowell when she was here?
Who's that?
Did you see Sarah Vowell, the woman that was just on the show? Did you see her at the front desk?
No, I didn't see her, actually.
Did you happen to notice her dreamy male manager?
The what?
her dreamy male manager?
No, I didn't, sorry.
He kind of resembled that guy who used to paint on PBS, the dead guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't get a good look at him.
Except he was bald.
Well, that defeats the whole thing, you know. Because now the guy on PBS, didn't he have the big furry fro?
Yeah. I'm going to totally kitchen sink here.
Okay.
When I was talking to Frank Murphy,
yeah,
he told me that Mark St. John, our old program director at WAVA,
told me he's bald.
Wow.
That's...
cue ball.
Like shaved, like to, going bald and then shaved it all?
Had to shave it down. Frank's going to email me this guy's picture. This is a guy, a program director that Mike and I worked for at WAVA about 12 years ago.
About 6'4 and weighed about 93 pounds.
This germ was one of these guys, he loved sitting with the pencil and paper listening to our show.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock in the morning would come by, we'd sit down. He'd say, how you guys doing? He would speak to us in a voice like this. Hey, how are you guys doing? You're not playing enough records.
And he fancied the professorial look.
Yes.
Even back then, that's the look he liked. He didn't like to look like a DJ.
No.
He liked to look like a little baby professor.
Do you remember his name when he went on the air that one time?
Yeah, it was Bobby Q.
Bobby Q. We challenged him. At some point it became a challenge to say to this guy, how can you tell us what to do? When, you know, you don't do it. So,
right.
One Saturday morning, 105 WAVA, this is Bobby Q.
It was the funniest thing we ever heard.
Anyway, it's sweet revenge for us.
Oh, I can't wait to see a picture of him bald.
Mark St. John, our former program director, is bald.
Man, because we've been fat forever, but he's only turned bald in the last 5 years.
Conceivably, we could all lose weight.
Yeah, that's correct.
Do you think he's still married to that same lucky lady?
Absolutely.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because her last name is Money.
Yeah, that's the way we understood it.
Right.
Yeah, I'd love to see a picture of him. I really would.
Bob Ross is the name of the painter.
Bob Ross.
Oh, right, the guy on PBS.
Take a little of that. And there, put that little red color over there.
Andrew, are you still there?
Apparently not.
Hello?
Let me just put out his mouth.
Winner!
Hold on. Oops, that's the wrong one.
Homo!
Shining the light.
Homo!
Let's see if he answers.
Homo. Homo.
That is the new voice of the day.
Homo.
What's that come from?
Andrew.
Homo.
I hate to overanalyze them, but where is that from?
I told
Homo.
You, it's from Andrew. I don't know where it's from. Where is it from, Robbie?
It's from that movie Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, that's right, White Castle. That's where it's from. Thank you for that clarification. Don't bother renting it because you've just heard the funniest part. Really, you have. Hello there.
I got a phone call.
Don and Mike show.
How's that?
Hello?
Don call.
Hey, Don.
Yes, Don and Mike. Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
This is Boardwalk legend Joe Crowart from Ocean Gallery World Center.
I think that's really a nickname. That almost counts. Too much of a sell.
You're out of there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That I don't even give him a plug. But I'll give him a plug. He's got that place on the boardwalk in Ocean City, that place that sells all those crappy paintings.
Oh, okay.
Seen that place with the Batmobile outside? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Why did you treat Sarah Silverman like she was just some writer and not like a big star?
Okay, you trying to be funny with Sarah Silverman?
No, I love her. I love her. I'm a big fan. I love her stand-up. I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Sarah Vowell?
Say that again, Bob?
That was Mike. Asking
Mike.
How you feel about Sarah Vowell. Like by a vowel,
it's
Dana.
It's radio. Hello.
Hey, I just don't understand what you're saying about Sarah Vowell.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever. Hello. Let's start.
I do think, though, seriously, we are having a little technical issue because this has been every caller.
I know, but this guy is still, either this guy's working on a bad joke or he's really so dumb that he thinks that was Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Hello?
Sarah Silverman wasn't here.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah. No, neither is he. The nerve.
Well, I've got the perfect comeback.
Homo.
It's working today. And probably, that's got shelf life.
That really does.
Yeah.
I bet we burn it out before the end of the week. Which one do you think people will hate more? That one or
Homo.
We got them all. What?
Playing at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What the hell? Let me see. And
Homo.
That's nice.
Hey, that's it's got a good rhythm.
That's like gay, you've got mail.
Homo.
I like it.
Homo.
I like it and I want it.
Commercial. Well, you want it, you got it. Are you kidding me?
Homo.
Gotta go to the computer.
More mail. I'll be right back.
Here's the Don and Mike Show.
Stain of black.
Anybody that's listening to the show.
I didn't have the oopsie.
For a long time, will know that there was a day where we truly enjoyed a certain thing on this show. And I just want to say that when that was happening, that would have been spectacular.
I would have been all over.
It would have been truly something special.
Really, there's a symphony in my pants.
It might have been
right
an all-time complex melody.
Yeah, like the Canadian brass. And I know, because I'm right over there.
You know what I imagine it's like? It's like when the fireworks are synced up to music.
Not exactly the thought I had. But it's close.
I've got a pain.
And you're hot?
I've got a pain, but there are no stains. There's no oopsie.
Well, I'm speaking over on my side of the console, and I've never been more happy to be over here. Then pure sound quality, I got to say, brilliant.
Tomorrow, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on the show, Rudy Martsky tells all.
Oh, man, my God. The return of Rudy Martsky.
Unbelievable. Former USA Today columnist and disgruntled employee.
Oh.
Disgruntled
most
former
of them are.
Employee.
How many years ago was it that Rudy was on this show?
Originally, 1990. Mm-hmm. What is it now? It's 2000. That's 15 years.
Long time.
Did he leave us 5 years ago?
5 years ago he left us?
Like
never thought he'd be
there's
right.
An editor at USA Today that's got a problem.
Well,
we'll talk to Rudy about that tomorrow. Speaking of the oopsies.
Oopsies.
And Lay King.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Hi, folks. It's Lay King.
Aaron Brown and News Night coming up. Wanna wonder what's you okay?
I'm here with Wolf Blitzer.
Oh my God,
Wolf! You get the oopsies.
Get the oopsies very often. You might have taken the oopsies from them.
I'm here with Candy Clark, who's been voted Miss Oopsie in the CNN newsroom.
Yeah, but in her case, we say Oopsie Daisy. Yeah, thank you, Candy.
Oopsie Daisy.
Yeah,
oopsie. Here's the news on Lay King.
Lay King.
Guess, Mike, who's the latest celebrity to get a subpoena in the Michael Jackson case?
It's Larry King.
Oh, no. I guess Sarah Vowell. Sarah, did Garfield make an oopsie?
Michael, if you're ever on trial, will there be a chance to subpoena me to be there?
Was the oopsie on an incline?
You ever have the oopsies?
Michael Jackson's attorneys want Lay King to testify about a talk he had with a guy who represented somebody else who accused Michael Jackson.
Okay.
In 1993. The guy says he didn't tell Larry King anything, but Larry King, of course, is, you know, he's Larry.
You
Larry
know,
from the court, he's embracing this, saying, if I've got it, I'll testify.
I don't watch a lot of court TV, so I can't really tell. Does anyone have any idea how the trial is going and which direction it's going to head? Is it going to be a guilty verdict or could it be innocent?
I'll tell you what I think. I think, like, he's done with all those boys.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get off.
I think so, too.
I think so.
What do you think, Buzz?
I think so, too. Yeah, it's not looking good, especially because of the testimony from the mother.
Another fabulous California court case.
Yes, yes.
Oopsie.
Oopsies. Another one down the drain.
I got the oopsies. I was at the Palm restaurant.
I like the Bud Light. Light's big, isn't it? The light beer.
Do you like the light?
You like the light? It's good. That's what they drink now, isn't it?
Do you like the light?
Light's big.
I met the Palm with all my friends.
Yes.
I said, oh, my God, I need the lobster bib.
Oh.
I said, you're not having the lobster. I said, I got the oopsie. I got the butter sauce.
I'll be right back. Got the oopsies bad.
You ever get the oopsies when you get a real spicy piece of salmon?
Yeah.
Caught right in your throat and you start coughing like Sean's praying that you're finally gonna die and she's gonna get the money, and when you're laying on the floor all purple-faced.
It's a combination of fear and loss of control, easy for me to say, and it causes an oopsie. Mm-hmm.
My DVDs are full of drawn butter. More water, please.
Thanks so much. I'm be leaving the restaurant now, out the back door. Don't want anybody to notice my oopsie.
The oopsies.
Why did I have to wear the cotton slacks?
Okay, that's Larry King. Mm-hmm. Now, how about this? Where did I read this today? The New York Post? Hold on. This cream spinach is a wretch.
Oh.
Big oopsie.
Super big oopsie.
Big oopsie with a cream spinach.
I was fine until I ate the cream spinach. Okay. I'll have to get out of here now, all right.
Leave the tablecloth.
Thanks, Rob. That's Rob Spiewak keeping it alive. It was done. He resurrected it. He's Rob Spiewak.
He kept the ball in play.
He tends to do that.
Made a great sideline grab.
That's right. The ball stayed in play. Bounced off the wall. Rob tipped it back.
And it's a ground rule oopsie.
Ground rule oopsie. The ump didn't see it. But I sure felt it.
Right. Look in front of him.
And I dealt it.
Bill Clinton was offered a guest spot in the final episode of 6 Feet Under.
Really?
Huh. He wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of quirky and obscure.
His greedy agent set the price too high.
Oh, really?
And HBO wouldn't pay. How much do you think Bill Clinton wanted to be in an episode of 6 Feet Under?
$100,000.
$1 million.
Oh, come on.
He gets over $100,000 for speaking for 15 minutes.
I'll do it, but you're going to have to come up with the cash.
Wow. So if you watch that show...
Like that lady that, is the real sexually active one.
What's that other show that I hate, that cowboy show?
Deadwood.
Deadwood.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know that?
Deadwood sucks. Excuse me. If I can say that.
Peabody Award winner.
Hold on. I want to tell you, I've got something
Deadwood?
Here.
Yeah. I think we've all won Peabody's, haven't we?
Deadwood has the most profanity on television.
Yeah.
In the show's first two seasons, the number of F-bombs used is 1,406. That averages out to the F-word every 1.4 minutes.
Do you watch it?
I didn't like it initially. I'd like to give it another shot.
I've done it. I've given it two shots. And, you know, first of all, it's always on.
Right.
So you can never miss it. But to me, here's the thing, you talk about suspending disbelief.
Uh-huh.
I watch Deadwood, and I don't mind, like, Goodfellas when you've got all the gratuitous violence. Right. Deadwood, it's not necessarily violent, but it's just, it couldn't have been that bad. You watch Deadwood, you go, there's just no way that everybody was that horrible in the Wild Wild West. It just didn't exist.
It was a show about G. Gordon Liddy. What's going on in his pants?
No, sir. Don, you are on the air, sir.
Brother Donald, I'm virile and potent.
Have you seen the ads for the new Lisa Kudrow show on HBO?
No. Bad.
Yeah, well.
Bad spinoff.
Here's the thing.
Promise.
Just like the other guy's going to be Joey forever, she's going to be Phoebe forever.
Yes.
So the premise is it looks like a cross between Friends and the Larry David show.
Uh-huh.
Because here's the ad. She's standing in front of a focus group. You guys know what that is.
Right.
Meeting you listeners. It's where you're going to get a bunch of people together. They sit in a room and they eat pizza and they talk about how bad a TV or radio show sucks that they just watch or listen to. It's a way of getting feedback. And generally speaking, people stand behind two-way mirrors and watch the people react to how they've just performed. So Phoebe's standing, she says, "Hi, I'm the dumb blonde, and I got a new show on HBO, and let's see what they think about it." And then they go around the room, and the people say, "Oh, it was really great." And then they wave, and they go, hi. And she says, "What? You can see me? It's not a two-way mirror?" And, well, you can...
That's right.
Hilarious. You can guess how funny it is.
Wow. Same character she's playing.
Apparently.
Yeah. So she's Phoebe. Same character she played in Mad About You when she played a waitress on the Paul Reiser show.
They should call it Bad Actress.
As opposed to Fat Actress.
Joey's still on, though.
Oh,
I never watched it.
You bet.
Mike,
barely.
Please tell me, Thursday night, 8 o'clock, like I'm not there.
Okay.
I've not watched one episode of
Joey. That's the reason she's getting hers, though.
Do you know what I watched on Thursday night? I think this is how bad it is on Thursday night.
What?
I watched a little... Body by Jake, or what's that? Black
Jake
and
Progress?
Oh,
Jake and Progress.
Yes.
Oh,
really?
Play it. You got to play it for yourself there. You watch
Jake. Hello.
There you go.
Only because there was nothing else. I mean, there was. I don't like Survivor.
Right.
I don't like Joey.
Is that on the American Broadcast Company?
Sure is.
Hello.
On ABC. Oh, and Survivor. Hold on. Boston Rob and Amber.
Mm-hmm. Amber.
Are they still on The Amazing Race?
Yes.
They got married over the weekend.
Oh, good for them.
I know you don't care about that, but you would care about this. CBS was there to film their wedding.
Oh, give me a break.
But hold on. You're going to love it. They are absolutely, Rob and Amber are the sacrificial lambs being tossed into the fire.
Really, how so?
Do you know when CBS is going to air their wedding?
When?
They're going to run it against the finale of American Idol.
Really?
Uh-huh. Well, that says how much they value it.
Got to run something.
Okay, well, and hold on a second. Oh, and 24 is on tonight. We'll talk about that in Uno Momento.
That's pretty funny, though. Put it on them. Yeah, that's right.
I got one feel good. And as a matter of fact, it's probably one that's going to... All I got to do is read the headline to you. Okay. This is from Marlboro, New Jersey.
Hey, Rob, Boston Rob, Les Moonves. How about a little wedding show? Thanks a lot. I'll be in touch. No problem at all.
Who are you on the phone with, honey? Oh. Who are you on the phone with, Wes? Oh, you don't want to acknowledge this, do you, Mike?
No, Mike doesn't. No, Mike, Les went away. Les went away.
Les. Hello, this is Julie Chan.
What's your feel good, Don? What's your feel good?
I can't do that thing you can do. I can't do that.
You can't, thank God. What's the feel good?
Hi, Les.
Oh, dear.
No. It's me, Connie. I almost said Connie Chung.
What's the feel good?
Okay. From Marlboro, New Jersey.
All right.
Jane learning to drive accidentally kills mother.
Oh, no.
Do you need to know any more?
No. Is that it? That's the feel good?
Well, I can give you some of the details if you like.
All right, go ahead.
16-year-old girl. Just got her learner's permit. Thursday, Marlboro, New Jersey. What are you doing?
This card is almost broke.
Oh, this thing is almost broke? Okay.
Try it again.
Oh, I'll wait till... Okay. Teen learning to drive accidentally kills her mom. There you go. Thank you.
Much better.
There's not much to this. The took it from them.
Right.
The mom had set up cones. You know those orange cones?
Right.
And was outside the car pointing to her daughter that she should drive around these cones with her learner's permit. Mm-hmm. And she ran over and killed her mother.
Oh, my. Wacky traffic cones. Insurance is going to be expensive.
Julie Chen thought that was great.
She thought it was hysterical.
Cones.
Mm-hmm. Cone heads.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Don.
Mushy bye. Mamushy bye.
Hello. You want me to do it, don't you?
I do. I hey, we're so far away from it, you can do it now.
Just... Oh, totally unrelated?
Yes.
Morning now.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, I knew we were related to the previous bit.
You may be very happy. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
And Buzz.
Uh-huh.
Say, I just wanted to give you a heads up on getting in touch with Deadwood. If you like The Sopranos...
Get in touch with Deadwood. Get Viagra, man. You want to get in touch with your Deadwood.
Deadwood bores me.
Well, you have to log a little time with it. The characters take a little bit to get developed.
That doesn't surprise me, but I just haven't been able to latch on to it.
Is it as bad as that show Entourage was?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's as bad as Carnival.
No. If you like The Sopranos, you will love Deadwood.
Idiot. Mm. And speaking of The Sopranos, the great news that I heard is that they will start production on the new season.
Uh-huh. Start production.
In the calendar year 2006.
Yes. That'll be good.
I am not kidding you this time, kids. That means we're...
How do they eat? I'm kind of curious about it. I mean, really... I mean, now I'm not talking about the big stars that have all the money to, like Tony Soprano. I'm talking about all the other actors.
That's why the guy's like Big Pussy before he beat up his girlfriend and threw her out of the car. He's got like the cookbook. He does the cigar.
Well, they wrote him off, but I'm wondering Christopher and these guys.
Christopher is going to be on, what's the Law and Order?
The newest Law and Order.
The Law and Order Trial by Jury.
And,
very good.
I saw Bobby Bacala hosting a movie on Spike.
Really?
Yeah.
And, oh, man.
And have you seen Dr. Melfi doing the ads for
The Sopranos? At least one of them. And just find out if there is any bitterness about the production schedule, because it seems to me,
Lord, you don't know, could fill a book.
They'd be bigger stars, and they would be more bankable if this show had more of a frequent production.
Okay. Hi, Donna, Mike.
Uncle June has just released an album, too, like another singing album.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, but this is going to be good in season 7.
Uncle June, his next role should be playing the Pope. I mean, the Pope as he is today.
On the salad bar?
Yes.
In this next season, AJ is actually going to go through his midlife crisis.
Wow.
He's gray. He's got gray in the temples.
AJ.
Most important.
You want it again?
One more time, please.
Thank you. And I'm not going 100% even.
I know you're not.
I just can't.
Because of the boss factor.
Yeah, the boss
factor. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Be right back. You know, 24 is on tonight. Are you hip to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we'll be back. Talk about that.
Oh, good.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
The Don and Mike Show. Love the Don and Mike Show.
Right. I just realized where we are.
Where?
I mean, yeah, we're late, and it's Buzz's news time. Buzz?
Yes.
Stand by for the news and comments.
All right, then.
Oh, here is the pride of Pittsburgh, Donny Iris.
Yeah, I like
Donny Iris.
Yeah, me too.
Buzz, before we get to the news,
right,
we'll do right here. Buzz brought to us by Viramax, world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Viramax, number one, because it really works. It's doctor developed.
Someone called for a doctor.
Clinically tested. Hey, call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Sorry to screw everybody out of the What's the Buzz song, because we're running late today. But
busy,
also,
busy day.
We also wanted to just take a second about 24. Mm-hmm. Tonight, we love that show. We talk about it. We analyze it. Joining us now, Jack.
Oh, good.
What's on tonight's 24, Jack?
Don.
Yes, Jack.
Step away from the microphone.
Why?
I need you to step away from the microphone.
Why?
Rob. Move him back at Don.
Step back.
Now, why? Buzz, what I want you to do
is
move to the back of the studio.
Now, why am I...
Do it now!
Right. We're back.
Do it now!
Why am I really...
There's no
back.
Time left! I have it on good authority somewhere in the studio, there is an infrared sensor. Underneath that sensor, it's going to Habib Marwan's headquarters, and he's going to blow the whole place wide open.
It's a made-up TV show.
Don, I don't have time to explain to you. There's no time. You don't have time. You've got to get out of the studio while there's still time.
Hey, Kiefer?
Don't argue with me and waste my time.
Kiefer?
Yes, Don.
I saw your dad's ass in Animal House.
My father, Donald Sutherland.
Homo.
We hit the air in 2 hours and 45 minutes. Right. I need a ham roll up now. Stat.
What's going to happen on tonight's 24?
Yeah.
Edgar, lose some weight. Chloe, buy a clue. Moonface, take me.
What's going to happen on tonight's 24?
Yeah.
I can't tell you, but I'm going to save the world. There's going to be some way that I'm going to save the world, but we're not going to be able to save the world unless you do exactly what I say. Now, Don,
okay, I'm listening.
Listen to me carefully.
I'm listening to you, Jack.
I've got my fake phone with my pinky finger extended and my thumb pressed up against my ear. Tonight, I resurrect the retarded daughter.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh,
yes. You're amazing.
I will bring her back from the dead, and I will call and report to everybody there. Thank you, Mr. President. I need to speak with the Secretary of Defense. Where is the plane? I'm sorry, we're out of time. Previously on Buzz's News.
What did Buzz have on the news on Friday?
It's not important what he had. How can I convince you people? The world's about to blow up.
That's right.
And you're worried about the newscast.
Right.
It can't work that way. I've killed a lot of people, and I've shot a lot of guns.
Jack.
Don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt me.
Got it.
You're going to interrupt me. You can switch the letters around.
Yes.
We figured Buzz Burbank.
Out. Yes, Jack.
Michael Elston.
Uh-huh.
Where is the football?
I don't know.
Tell me where it is.
I don't know,
You've
Jack.
Got to know where it
Jack,
is.
Jack, I don't know where the football is.
I have news for both of you.
Yeah?
What's that?
Mrs. Arraz is not dead.
Oh, we had been hoping
so
she wasn't
excited.
Dead.
I'm sleeping with her.
I don't.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm Kiefer Sutherland.
You sure are.
All right, Kiefer.
You saw my dad's ass.
I did.
Yeah.
So on.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Wow.
He's gone.
Jack Bauer. This is your premiere of tonight's 24.
Didn't have a lot
of
time.
Buzz?
Yes.
It's your news and comment time right now.
Sure is.
And I don't even know what your lead story is. We didn't do the whole thing where we say, in a country where, you know, nobody speaks.
Buzz speaks. If I were to put a title on it, I would say, Ocean Cruises Catch the Wave.
Oh, yeah.
I saw this all over the news.
Come on. Before we do that, Robbie.
Scary. Doesn't this freak you out a little bit?
Scary,
funny. It's got all those things.
I know we've got the like the ocean sounder up there in water somewhere. Also, it's been about 3 hours since we mentioned Washington, D.C. television anchorman Jim Vance and his bad upper plate.
There's less than an hour to go now until the deadline to turn in tax returns. Some post offices around the area have stayed open later than usual to accommodate last-minute filers.
Thank you, Grady.
And last-minute upper plate.
Someone should get him to pop those teeth in. And now listen to a man who's got most of his original teeth.
We'll see how I do. They're still repairing and cleaning out the cruise ship that was hit by a 7-story wave on Saturday.
We had it somewhere.
But some passengers are still nursing their wounds. The wave hit the Norwegian Dawn as high as deck 10. Jacuzzis were knocked overboard. Furniture sailed through the air and windows were busted out of some cabins. 62 cabins flooded and 4 people got hurt. Passengers say they thought the ship was going down. And the 70-foot wave hit. As it hit, the pianist was playing the theme from the Titanic.
Didn't I tell somebody?
You know, they talk about that. Yeah, I saw the movie The Perfect Storm when you talk about a rogue wave. Yeah.
But it's amazing. I mean, you just always have to respect the sea. I mean, that this can happen. It's
always
amazing.
You respect the sea.
CTU.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I find hard to believe after having been on all these cruises with my wife and everything.
Sure.
We just went on one like a month ago.
Right.
To anybody that's been on a cruise, Carnival cruise, whatever it is, the first thing you do when you get on the boat is once you get in your room, before they even start to leave and they drive the boat away, you have to stand out on the deck and you have to go through your life vest
emergency
drill,
procedures,
and
right. And everybody kind of takes it lightly,
They give you the flotation device, and they make a real point of saying, in case of emergency, this is the area of the ship you need to go to.
Ah,
not just the ship. It's the love boat.
I saw some of the people. So there was, you know, everybody's got the amateur video. I saw some of the pictures, some of the video, and it was people running and pushing each other out of the way and people screaming at each other, where is my area? Where is my area? Because that's the thing that nobody pays attention to. You get on
the area, but like if you have to get into a lifeboat, right?
Yeah, because you figure if the ship goes down, screw it. I'm not going to meet you at Fortune's Casino. I'll just go out on my own deck.
That sounds like my honeymoon video.
Where's my area?
So I don't know how flipped out I would be by that.
Well, people were pretty flipped out, and not only were they listening to this song here, the theme from Titanic, the passengers were also offered free drinks throughout the storm and a 50% refund plus 50% off their next cruise. You could make a case, really. They didn't have to offer them anything. I mean, when you talk about act of God,
that's
a storm, man. Well, except that many of the passengers had, for days, been watching the storm move their way on CNN on board the ship.
Hold on a second.
And they wondered why the captain hadn't noticed this.
Mm-hmm. We saw a woman today on TV, Mike. You and I saw this woman.
And Doc pointed out that she was kind of your typical cruise goer.
Now,
yeah, I saw.
You know me, I don't like the stereotype.
Yes.
However, here's the woman. The waves were much bigger than anything you could possibly believe. The captain got on the intercom at 8. We didn't hear from him again until 11. Now make it 1 o'clock. Thank God there was CNN. We were watching the weather on CNN. Uh-huh. And then the anchor comes on and says, thank you for mentioning you were watching
CNN.
Thanks for the plug.
At anyone, at any point, did anyone fall through a glass ceiling like in Poseidon Adventure?
The thing is, though,
there was some glass.
I look forward to getting more of the home video because I'd really like to see what kind of storm that was that would produce a wave that big. That's got to be absolutely terrible.
Nobody's used the L word yet, but you know there are going to be lawsuits over this.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
The storm lasted for 2 days. The ship rode it out on 40-foot swells for 48 hours.
Well, that's
a lot of people were seasick. Many passengers slept in the hallways wearing life vests, quoting one passenger, scary as hell.
Man, I mean, you imagine you're flying on an airline and you go through turbulence, it's over after a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 days worth of that,
I'd be
freaked out of my mind.
They were.
If you remember, some more of the amateur video that we saw on CNN before the show was, Mike said, what is this? And it was hard to figure out at first. Somebody had a camera, and they were standing in their room or on their little veranda off the room, and you could see what appeared to be like a photo cloud.
A water spout.
That's what it was, like a water spout.
Which is a tornado that's on the water. I mean, I think you're going to see, we have obviously sheer numbers, you're going to see a lot more video that's going to come out. Great video.
I hope it didn't ruin the karaoke night on the ship. And I certainly hope that it didn't ruin the big ice sculpture night. And I hope all the midnight buffets were able to happen on time. All the things I love about cruising.
There are entertainers on board, so I'm sure the show went on.
Do you participate in the karaoke when you?
I do not. Here's how I participate. I drink heavily.
I watch it. Yeah, there you go.
I love it.
America's no-fly list, aimed at keeping terrorists, senators, and folk singers off of airplanes, now includes over 31,000 names. That's way up from just 19,000 names last fall.
Damn right, Buzz, and I'll tell you something.
What?
I feel a lot safer because of it.
Well, you should.
Wasn't I just saw one of the networks over the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
After 9/11, maybe it went through some big thing. We are no safer in the airport with all the money and all the people and all the training than we were on 9/10.
Well, that'll make this information even more frightening. The list was expanded, the no-fly list was expanded after April 8th of this year when two Saudi men with terrorist connections who went to the same flight school as one of the 9/11 killers were spotted on board a flight from Amsterdam to Mexico City. The Dutch Airlines flight had entered American airspace.
On Dutch oven airlines.
The U.S. government now wants...
Need another blanket.
The U.S. government now wants to not only ban certain people from boarding or landing here, it wants to ban certain passengers from our airspace. Experts say that goal may interfere with international law and may backfire.
That's why I am only traveling via cruise ship.
Good for you.
No matter
it's
how
safer.
The only I'm way getting to... home tonight. I'm not driving. I'm taking a cruise ship home.
You'll be a little late.
Thank you so much for flying Dutch Airlines.
They say that if other
Would
countries...
Would you like a piece of my skin, Mr. Powers?
Other airlines say that if other countries made this same rule as the U.S., it would be a much bigger problem for U.S. airlines than it would be for foreign airlines. U.S. officials, though, say they've heard that Al-Qaeda has been planning another airline attack on the U.S. using foreign planes, and the terrorists are entering the U.S. through Mexico. By the way, the U.S. learned about these two passengers flying over our airspace thanks to information provided by officials in Mexico.
Well, like that hasn't happened for years? That we've had bad people coming from that place to enter our place?
We just don't usually get notified by the Mexican government.
BTW.
And we're all feeling...
BTW.
What's BTW?
Build the wall.
Build the wall.
Yes. Mm.
We're all feeling a little less secure upon hearing that a man was found dead in...
CTH.
What's that stand for?
Thin the herd.
Thin the herd.
Right.
RGB.
What?
Really got a break. SB. Sorry, Buzz.
That's all right.
BRB.
Uh-huh.
Be right back.
SBD.
Tell me about it.
Silent but deadly. No, not silent, though.
Very much not.
Yeah.
Boy, I got one for you. But
LOL.
Laugh out loud?
No, loud and... No, L-A-L.
Loud?
What? Loud and lethal.
Buzz, what's next?
Coming up next, something to make you feel insecure about flying.
Okay, thank you, Charles.
This is the Don and Mike Show. It's the favorite radio program of Charlie M. The Don and Mike Show.
Let's continue. With more news and comments, here's Buzzy. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, we're all feeling a little less secure upon hearing that a man was found dead in an airplane lavatory an hour after the plane had landed. An Indiana man had died of heart failure before he could even lock the restroom door. So the occupied light was not on, so flight attendants thought nothing of it.
the body was found by the cleaning crew in Chicago.
So do you think he
never
was...
did catch his connecting flight.
Do you think he was going?
I don't
know. Was he on the threading?
Sounds like he didn't even get a chance to close the door. They didn't say, but I'm guessing since he couldn't even latch the door unless he was in a hurry.
But isn't it that he didn't... It's not that he locked it. It's that he
didn't latch it.
The door was...
Silent killer.
The door was shut, right?
The door was shut, but he didn't have to... He didn't even get to slide that thing. Engage the latch in order for the occupied...
But you can...
Can't you shut the door, though? Yeah.
Couldn't he, in theory, have gone in the bathroom?
He shut the door, but he didn't lock it. Right.
Correct. Which means he could have just shut the door, and he might have been sitting on the toilet.
Mm.
Maybe.
It's always a possibility. Always a chance.
You know, that's what I'm rooting for.
I know.
On the next flight, someone can go in there and say, God, it smells like something died in here.
Right-wing rocker Ted Nugent is still pushing the envelope. Not musically, of course. He gave that up long ago for the adoring eyes of the redneck right. But Nugent is now telling his fellow NRA members to, quote, get hardcore in demanding their right to self-defense. Without Charlton Heston around to provide the drama at the NRA's annual convention this year, Nugent Saturday urged each member to try to enlist 10 new members by the end of the year. He also told them they should only socialize with other NRA members.
That's good.
So there he was in Houston, bright, playing his red and white striped guitar and shouting, and I quote, remember the Alamo, shoot 'em. To show you how radical I am, I want carjackers dead. I want rapists dead. I want burglars dead. I want child molesters dead. I want the bad guys dead. No court case, no parole, no early release. I want them dead. Get a gun, and when they attack you, shoot them.
Anyone ever tell you you're a moron?
End quote.
I see nothing wrong with that.
Guns don't kill people.
That's right.
People kill people.
Do. I know.
Yeah. NRA all the way.
God, I'm trying to think what I was watching. It was something... It was this kid killed his grandparents, and the father is waiting to get the gun back. And the quote from the father was, "It's got some pretty good memories too."
Sure.
Who's the
blew me away? I forgot what it was.
Good memories. Who's the political guy that's in trouble now for allegedly?
Tom DeLay.
Yeah, okay, Tom DeLay. Uh-huh. So the story on this guy is, like all politicians, like we should be surprised about, is that he's taking his family on trips and the taxpayers are paying for. Uh-huh. So they're talking about how he's going to spin this and turn his image around. And he was at the NRA convention.
Yes.
And he's up there holding like a Davy Crockett rifle.
Right.
He's like, NRA! NRA! Mm-hmm. You know, we're mad because you took your wife and your kid on a plane.
Yeah, but he knows where to go. He knows where to go to get his political contributions.
And the people who support him have guns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the other thing that I saw on TV over the weekend was on, what's that show Bob Lee does on ESPN?
I forgot the name of it.
Outside the Lines. He did a thing about Bobby Fischer, and I know we can search the archives at ESPN.com and get it. Jeremy Schapp, who's the son of Dick Schapp, interviewed Bobby Fischer, the famous chess player, and he said stuff, Bobby Fischer said stuff like, 9/11 attacks were wonderful. He said,
crazy.
I watched this thing, and my jaw dropped. He said, what's your name? And this was at a press conference with Bobby Fischer. And Jeremy Schapp said, I'm Jeremy Schapp. And he said, was your dad Dick Schapp? And he said, well, yes. He interviewed you many times. Mm-hmm. And he said, he's a rotten, lying Jew like all of you.
Wow.
How many Jews are in America now? And Jeremy Schapp says, what does this have to do with anything? He says, how many? Maybe 6 million? Your dad was a rotten Jew. I can't let that go.
Yeah, this guy is insane.
Isn't Bobby Fischer Jewish?
Yes, he is, Mike. That was very
strange.
The country he's hiding out in is one of our favorites, really, Iceland.
Really?
Well, that's where Bobby Fischer played Boris Spastic Colon or whatever that guy's name was.
Right,
way back in the day.
Yeah.
That's where he did it. I was blown away by this.
Hasn't Bobby Fischer always been a little out there?
Yeah, but he lost all touch with reality. To him, everything's a conspiracy. The guy he's not part of any race or religion at this point. He's a Martian.
And besides the anti-Semitic stuff, he's looking right at this group of reporters. How do you feel about 9/11? Wonderful.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Wonderful.
Yeah, he ain't right.
Bobby Fischer.
Wow. Oh, the Mesa, Arizona Police Department, meanwhile, wants a monkey. The department applied for a $100,000 federal grant to buy and train a Capuchin monkey. Next to the chimpanzee, that's the smartest monkey with amazing problem-solving skills, including unlocking doors. And they're smaller than a chimp, so they can get into places chimps and humans cannot. Mesa, Arizona police want one for their SWAT team. Or do they just want to see him in the hat? And I told you Wendy's is serious about finding out how that finger got in the cup of chili. The fast food chain has now lost big money over the incident, especially in California's Bay Area. So now the house that Dave Thomas built is offering a biggie reward.
How much, Buzz?
The reward for a detailed explanation of how the finger got in the chili has now doubled to $100,000.
Hello.
Wendy's says it's being punished for something it did not do. Police are still investigating, and that includes the woman with a history of lawsuits that says she found the finger in her cup in San Jose. That woman now says she's decided not to sue
it's
Wendy's for her mental
That's
anguish.
Wonderful.
Also, police say it turns out the finger does not belong to a woman who lost one to her pet leopard, in case you heard that theory
last week.
You just wiggled your finger. Yeah.
No, it didn't.
That's wonderful.
It's not a match.
Hi, baby.
You just wiggled your finger. That's wonderful.
And it's not every day that a surgical...
I know it doesn't make sense.
Not every day that a surgical patient just bursts into flame, but it apparently happened 2 years ago in Seattle. And now police are investigating.
That's hot news, Buzz.
The unidentified male patient went up in flames after alcohol poured onto his skin was ignited by a surgical instrument. A doctor says the patient died from heart failure after the surgery, not from the fire. The police got involved after 2 years because they just recently received a letter informing them a patient had burned to death in a hospital the author says is unsafe.
Rest in peace, John Paul.
And John Paul Flame?
Flame.
Oh, I get jokes. I get junky jokes.
There you go.
And from our Be Careful What You Wish For department, a man apparently unhappy with his penile enlargement surgery also apparently mailed explosives to his plastic surgeon in Ohio.
Hello.
The feds have indicted...
Nothing gay about that.
Feds have indicted Pennsylvania's Blake Stiedler after the 24-year-old allegedly used a model rocket engine igniter inside a jewelry box as part of the bomb.
I love to play in the mud.
Stiedler? Later, he called 911 and turned himself in. The FBI says the bomb probably would have worked, so it's charged him with using a weapon of mass destruction, among other things, as well as various postal violations.
Wow. You to bomb, Buzz.
And we'll finish up with our kicker when we come back. How's that?
Good ad lib.
Thank you.
Good ad lib.
I just realized what time it was.
We'll be right back, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They occasionally breathe the rarefied air of buzzdom. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Don't forget our website, www.donandmikewebsite.com. Got the transcript of the show. It's so beautiful to see the things that we say actually in print. We got the audio highlight. And, of course, our souvenir shop.
Well, are you still selling those T-shirts?
Better hurry, kids.
Yes, it's a limited time, kids. I'm not kidding you this time.
And our thanks to Sarah Vell.
Yeah, I'm talking, of course, about Ron Mexico.
Right. Sarah Vell was a great guest today. Her manager called.
Yes.
After hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And said that it was not as good as when she was on Conan O'Brien.
That's great.
Well, there's that.
So we take what we can get.
That's wonderful.
That's all the feedback I got.
That's not bad.
That's all I got. I didn't see her on Conan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm. Right. She was funny on Conan O'Brien.
I just heard, you know, I said, well, how did it go? They called and they said that it went real well. Really? I said, really? What did they say? Well, the manager said she was better on Conan.
I like that. That's very funny.
Don't worry,
better on Conan.
Everybody's better on Conan.
Sure.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Finally, not...
Hey, Buzz?
Yes.
You were better when you did the news on Conan O'Brien's show.
Yeah. Listen, I think I missed this day in broadcasting school. Maybe you can help me out. If you have a day upon which, as a broadcaster, you just suck, do you try to gloss it over and hope nobody notices, or do you offer a frank apology? What is the best?
Oh, Buzz, don't beat yourself up.
Finally, not since we regaled
you. Are you talking about that dumb thing with the time check before the break?
See, here's the thing. If you try to tease what you're going to say in the kicker, you could squirrel the kicker. So, and not having done that before, I just wasn't prepared, and I'm ashamed of myself for not being more ready.
You need acupuncture.
Tomorrow's another day.
Dedicated professional.
You need acupuncture.
But you know what? Chin up. Tomorrow's another day.
Hey, I'm getting it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
I'm going to see Allison Kitchen tomorrow.
Kitchen in the kitchen.
Yes, sir. Back pain. Bye-bye.
Good luck. How late is she open tonight?
Late.
Finally.
In the kitchen.
Not since we regaled you with the story of the elderly New York woman being impaled by a shower faucet handle have we been so excited. In Hampton, Virginia, a 75-year-old woman is free after being trapped in her bathtub for 5 days.
Oh, baby. Wow.
She decided a week ago Saturday to take a nice warm soak to nurse her sore tailbone. She tried to lift
herself. Oh, groovy, baby.
Tried to lift herself out, but she couldn't. Her family plans to put in some safety railings now.
Wow.
When the neighbors noticed newspapers piling up outside, they called the cops. Ironically, doctors say the woman was a little dehydrated after 5 days in the water.
Wow.
But the first thing Jane Frumall wanted after slipping into a robe?
What's that?
A Coca-Cola and a Parliament 100.
Hey, that's my girl. That's my flavor.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
I thought you quit.
So did I.
We gotta go. Stand by for Ron and Fez.
Hey.
They're coming up in an hour after a great infomercial. What's wrong, Mike? What's wrong with going out with the great Kurt Cobain? All right, good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Ron and Fez coming up in an hour at JFK FM. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And you?
I'm going to a concert.
What concert are you going to?
Johnny Flapjack and the Apple Butter Gang.
Coming home, kids.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.